from the Starz show Power, Chicago actor Joseph Sikora. Former Knightwood and now Giant chef Jason Vincent. And live music from the local band Marrow. And now, here's your host, a man who saved a hydrangea this weekend, Justin Kaufman.
I'm a plant superhero, Pete. And I thank everybody here on the download, everyone listening who gave great advice on what to do with that hydrangea. Because I was complaining about it on Friday about how I brought it home for Mother's Day early and then I killed it. Well, when I got home Friday night, I checked in. Boom! Fixed itself. I guess the problem was that I, because after it was in the sun, what I did was I moved it to the shade, like a gardener, and was able to save it. So how about that? Happy endings, huh? I hope you had a great Mother's Day, everybody. Welcome to the download. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN with you till 11 o'clock tonight. I hope you had a great weekend. I know I did. I hope it was nice enough. I hope it was kind enough. I hope it was strong enough. And gosh darn it, I hope it was pleasant. We're happy to be back in studio and ready to give you a great show tonight. First off, Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee for president, is trying to figure out if anybody in his party will be showing up in Cleveland for the convention. What should we make of the fact that many establishment Republicans are giving lip service to the idea of skipping the coronation? And is the distancing actually a good thing for Trump in November? Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy will be here. The fellows from Touche will battle about that and other topics. My guest tonight at the big table is a Chicago actor who found success on the popular Starz drama Power. We'll talk with Joseph Sikora about his career in the show business. In the show business. I like how I say that. In the show business. How you should go to California and get into the show business. Used to work here on the stages of Chicago. He's an ensemble member with Shattered Globe. And live music tonight from one of Chicago's best bands, Marrow, the indie rock band, will play some of their latest right here in our Michigan Avenue studios. And it is Monday night, so it's time for the worst. Simple game. You want to know what's the worst? Having to show your card at Costco when you walk in. That's the worst. I've gotten in 3 fights in 3 weeks. Like I'm just like, you know what? You don't need to see my card. It's in my wallet. Well, I need to see it. Why? Why do you need to see it? Are you afraid like I'm stealing, like I'm getting a discount on double-wide Cheerios? That's ridiculous. Just let me buy in peace. I don't need to show you my identification. This is not like like Warsaw. It makes me so mad. Every time. It just makes me so mad. It was raining. This was a week ago. It was raining. I'm coming in there. I got my coat over my head. And I'm grabbing a cart and I'm going in. They're like, ID? I'm like, no, I don't have it. And they're like, well, you need it. I'm like, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. This is what you do? You get paid to do this? You get paid to shake me down and make sure I have a Costco card that I'm going to have to use at the register anyway?
That's the worst.
You know what else is the worst? Getting upsold at Chipotle.
They do that.
Yeah. Would you want some more? You want some guacamole? Yeah, guacamole would be great. And you get up there, it's like $2 extra. You're like, oh, man, I don't want your guacamole. Don't upsell me. Nothing worse than getting, like, there's nothing worse than being at a fast food place trying to get upsell, like an upsell. You know, for $2 more, you know, you can get the large. So, no, I'm okay. Thanks for the value. Thanks for being such a tremendous salesperson.
I hate that.
Oh, man. Sully Santos and Alexander Sarbalas from the Cates Comedy Ensemble will join us at 9:30. Play the worst. We got prizes. You should join us. News, weather, and traffic with Roger Badish tonight. Good to have him here. Also, Esmeralda Leon. And, of course, production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this here is The Download, a show about Chicago. Starring those who know it well. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the carryout. Of course, our nightly segment where I read the newspaper so you at home, you don't have to.
Welcome to
today's top stories. The first nice weekend of the year didn't go well for Chicago and violence. Tribb says 50 shot, 8 killed, which is the worst weekend since the fall and not a good sign for what could be upon us this summer. The top cop, Eddie Johnson, said that violence is, quote, completely unacceptable, which I guess is better than saying it's completely acceptable. Republican Speaker of the House Paul Ryan said he would step aside and skip the GOP convention if Donald Trump asked him to. Then under his breath, he's like, please, 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 please ask. Please ask. Don't make me go. Don't make me go. I got tickets to the Brewers game. Please. Bathrooms are in the news. I guess the feds are suing the state of North Carolina, who is also suing the feds. This all over who can use what bathroom at the Walmart. My suggestion? Hold it. Trust me. That bathroom's going to be gross. You know it. Chance the Rapper is lobbying the Grammys to allow albums and music given away for free to be eligible for the award. Right now, artists who don't charge for their music are excluded. So let me get this straight. Steely Dan charges $18.99 for their CD, and they get a Grammy. That's all I got. No joke. Just, wow. Hey, is El Chapo coming to Chicago? A Mexican judge may extradite him to the U.S., but not sure where, either New York or Chicago. Hey, it's fine by me, as long as he doesn't stay on the lakefront, right? I hope he does come to Chicago to stand trial. I mean, think of the T-shirt sales alone. Burglars are smashing windows in Lakeview, and police are warning residents. Wait, is it burglars or drunk Cub fans who don't know how to celebrate extra inning wins? Really, they could be one or the other. Facebook is being accused of messing with the algorithms to bury conservative articles and viewpoints on their site. The news was celebrated by crazy uncles everywhere. I knew it! Facebook won't let more people see my Obama is a Muslim photo collage. I knew it. Like, poke. Poke, like, poke. The CBS drama The Good Wife ended its run yesterday. The political drama was set here in Chicago, so it's tough to lose the show, although something tells me that Dick Wolf is already working on Chicago Wife to add to his drama empire. Chicago Margulies. Maybe that's better. In weather, so gray today. But a huge tornado is hitting Oklahoma as we speak. 41 million people are at some sort of risk for stormy weather today. So, you know what? Gray's fine. We'll take gray. In sports, the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox swept their opponents this weekend. For the Cubbies, it just keeps getting better. Yesterday, an extra inning walk-off homer for Javi Baez. This after walking the Nationals phenom Bryce Harper 6 times yesterday. He was on base 7 times, because he was hit by a pitch as well, without an official at-bat, which is the first time in baseball history. But who cares? The Cubs won. The Sox made easy work of the Twins. Chris Sale became the league's first 7-game winner on Saturday night. Both teams still the only 20-game winners in baseball. The Cubs got 24. The Sox have 22. But hey, you know, the Sox have played 2 more games than the Cubs, so, you know, not sweating it. Either way, it's so fun, and it's going to go a long way to help us forget that both our United Center teams are on vacation. Speaking of that vacation, the Bulls management continues to surprise us. When Gar Forman was asked about trading Jimmy Butler, he said all options are on the table. When Butler heard this, he wasn't happy. When Fred Hoiberg heard this, he's like, why did anyone tell me? Just CC me on the email once. I work here too, guys. I work here too. And finally, scientists at the Field Museum have recreated a 250-million-year-old hammerhead reptile that lived in the sea. It's a model that showcases its needle-like teeth. You know what? I think they should go further. I think they should clone it and put it in some sort of amusement park for dinosaurs, and people can come and they can see it, and then maybe the fences won't work. I mean, who cares? What could go wrong? Just as long as it's not on a lakefront, right? Right. That's the carryout for May 9th, 2016. Hey, we got some leftover Mother's Day cake. It's cake, so who cares what it says? More to come. The fellas from Touche are here. We're going to argue about politics. And coming up at 8 o'clock, Joseph Sikora, the star of the Stars program Power. We'll talk about his career acting and what Chicago gives him or gave him. He's from here. More on the download. Stay with us. All right. Coming up, Touche. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. We're just going to argue about Trump. 15-20 minutes of that. Roger Badish, how are you, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
Good to see you in the chair. I'm doing well. Too bad the postponed Cubs game tonight.
I know. Well, so they're not going to lose, but they can't. I always try to glass half full.
Very kind of optimistic. Yeah. but the rain doesn't help because the rain's going to mess up travel times. But it might, you know, the silver lining might be less traffic, like around 10:15.
Oh, way less traffic.
Yeah. Addison may be clear. You're needing to go to that Taco Bell.
Addison will be clear way before then. Yeah. They're going to run across the street to the nearest bar and just wait for this to pass, which will be tomorrow night.
Right.
So I can't make it in the work. The rain has trapped me.
That could be a dangerous situation up there for Cubs fans at the Cubby Bear.
Yeah.
Like, Legends Day! Yeager!
Replay yesterday's game.
Yeah, play it again! It's long enough, right? All right.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right.
All right, it's Monday night here on the download, so that means touche.
Touche.
Touche. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, they are touche panelists. They are here every Monday night to assess, debate, argue, complain about the presidential campaign and what we have here in 2016. Chris, Dave, good to see you guys. How are you?
Good to see you, Justin. It's
happy rainy Monday night.
Good to be back.
Good to have. Last week we had Professor Lipson, and he said, we'll start right away, that and I want to say some, I want to challenge some of the things he said. He said that the only way that Trump wins is if he can get Hillary Clinton in a scandal, meaning if they can bring up.
I don't think that's true. I think Trump is a phenomenon. I think Hillary is weighed down by her own scandals. I think that people want to change. It's not any sort of cut it out.
I'm looking at my watch and waiting in how many seconds it's going to take before you say, indictment!
You know, Hillary is weighed down by her scandals, and I am here to tell you Trump's going to win this election.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think we're looking at a major, major victory. I'm not a Trump guy. I wasn't a Trump guy. I was encouraging people not to vote for Trump, but you know what? The primary voters have spoken. And I think members of the GOP establishment who want to say it's not good enough what the primary voters chose are asking for trouble. They're the ones who are going to cause the loss in November. And there are folks who've been talking about, quote, running away, unquote, from Trump. That's crazy. You don't run away from a guy who has come from Nowheresville, who is unusual as heck, vanquished 16 of our best. He's now the presumptive nominee. You work with the guy, you try and smooth over these horrible edges he's got, but he is going to go to the White House.
Dave Lundy.
I agree that I would strongly encourage every Republican office holder and wannabe office holder and candidate around the country to wrap yourselves around Donald Trump as tightly as you can. Nothing would give Democrats greater pleasure than to see you do that, because here's the thing. I know my friend Chris is really trying to come to terms with the candidate who he knows is absolutely anathema, a guy who really has no clue about the world and has so little interest in policy. One of his advisors was quoted in Politico saying, quote, he doesn't want to waste time on policy and thinks it would make him less effective on the stump. It won't be until after he's elected, but before he's inaugurated, that he will figure out exactly what he's going to do and who he's going to try to hire.
All right. Do you want
Chris,
comment?
Who actually cares about government, that is anathema for
you. Do you want to comment on the what you consider to be the weaknesses in his tax policies? Have you studied the
well,
tax
yes.
paper?
Do you want to comment on the tax policy that he issued before, or the fact that over the weekend he said that, well, those aren't really policies. Those are kind of proposals. I know I'm going to have to negotiate. And, well, I didn't really mean the taxes should go down on the up on the wealthy. I meant they shouldn't go up as much. You mean which contradiction would you like me to comment on about his tax policies?
I think the contradiction you need to comment on is the fact that Hillary Clinton looks at this economy and says what's wrong is we're not taking enough money from the American people. people. What's wrong is we're not regulating enough. What's wrong is we haven't imposed enough burdens on the American economy, especially the small businesses. What's wrong is that so many jobs are being created that, you know, as we slide into this permanent state like Europe, kind of a Euro stagflation state, that what we really need is more government bureaucrats talking about more new regulations and higher taxes. And so I think that she is on the wrong side of the economy and of the regular American folks who are out there saying, whatever Obama was up to, it didn't help me.
That would be the Euro stagflation without either the stag, which meant stagnation, or the flation, which meant inflation. Well, and, we don't have inflation. And in case you haven't noticed, we've had 74 consecutive months of private sector job growth. In fact, it's a record they had.
110,000. This is the weakest recovery in the history of economic statistics. And there's no, you cannot jawbone around that.
Other than every industrial economy outside of the U.S.
No, we're talking about the United States. This is our weakest recovery ever. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have to account for that. And that's why she's going to lose and Trump is going to win. Trump is going to win this election. And I'm looking at 37, 38, 41 states, no problem.
But Chris, let me ask, Ooh. Let me just ask, you know, as we, I mean, that's
I sense a bet coming
I know,
here.
I was going to say, I like that we're recording this because we'll use this. But you know, I'm fascinated by the Paul Ryans and right. the GOP, you know, sort of establishment that has distanced themselves.
Right.
Even the Illinois, I mean, just in the last week, seen Rauner, like, I'm not going to Cleveland. We had Chairman Cronin on who was like, hey, that's not my guy.
Right.
I mean, what
he's not
you
my
say?
Guy. Here, you know, I think that Paul Ryan, talk about policy, Paul Ryan lives and breathes it. Paul Ryan is standing up for the fact that he was budget committee chairman. He was one of the few guys to really understand the intricacies of Obamacare. He's now the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, a top promise of Barack Obama, completely ignored, completely forgotten, completely broken with the American people, was to address entitlement reform. And instead, what Obama did was double our national debt. So a guy like Paul Ryan says, hey, look, we got to address this stuff. And frankly, Donald Trump has made some non-Republican from his Democrat days. He has these, you know, sort of acid flashbacks and he comes up with this. We're not going to talk about entitlement reform. Well, wait a minute. A guy like Paul Ryan's got to blow the whistle, throw a flag on the field, stop play for a moment and say, Donald, let's talk. That's great. That's exactly what needs to happen. I'm not afraid of that. I'm encouraging that. I think that the Pat Bradys and the Dan Cronins and the Bruce Rauners of the world, I encourage all of these guys to talk to Trump constructively and to get him tuned in to what somebody who is the governor of a major state like Illinois is facing every morning that he wakes up and mm-hmm. goes to work under the yoke of oppression that is put on him by Mike Madigan and Dave Lundy.
The yoke of oppression.
Dave Lundy.
I did not create that oppression. And I don't really like eggs, so leave your yolks alone. Look, I think that it's nice for Chris to try to spin this little tale, and I'm so glad we have on tape 38, 39, 40 states, easy, that Donald Trump is going to win. But when you come down to actually looking at these states, what you're finding is that the polling in normally safe Republican states right now is tied or Hillary Clinton is in the lead. Arizona, Georgia, my God, even Utah. Now, do I believe that Hillary is going to win Utah in the fall? No, she's not going to win Utah in the fall. I don't even know if she's going to win Georgia in the fall. But Arizona, where you've got 30% Latinos, yep, you bet. And when you start to look at the map of the states that Democrats have won the last six consecutive elections, you're already at 242 electoral votes. Trump's got to win Florida. And you got to take a state in Florida where right now she's up by like 15 points.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. Touche here on Touché. The download. Touche. When we come back, let's talk about how Trump nomination plays as it trickles down to some of the races, including here in Illinois, the race for Senate. Mark Kirk, one of the Republicans who's distanced himself from Donald Trump. We'll continue the conversation here on Touche on the download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right. There you go. Touche. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy arguing about Donald Trump. today on this episode of Touche. All right, so let's pick it up.
And next. And whatever.
I'm excited. I mean, you know what? For all the fun we had a lot of fun in the primaries.
Yes.
But we're starting to see that it's going to be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders, a little outside chance.
No, not really.
But the
because
idea,
they're not running a Democratic primary.
Yeah, there you go, right? So now, I mean, I feel like, you know, this is the meat. We have the appetizer. This is the meat. This summer's this is where you guys are going to make your money. All the money that we give you.
From your lips.
Right. All right, so let's talk about the one issue that keeps coming up for down-ballot Republicans who are running for statewide office, for, you know, for Senate, for House.
The sheriff candidate, you know, all these
things.
They're
worried that, I mean, at least on, I mean, from what we hear, that they're not going to do well with Donald Trump as a nominee. Chris?
I wonder why they're saying that. And I know there are a lot of polls out there and things like that. It is early as heck. And Trump has shown he's a very adept campaigner. There is a lot more going on in this campaign than people are, you know, want to describe. And it is reflective, I think, of a heck of a lot of planning and a heck of a lot of thought on his part. So when David says he doesn't know what he's doing, you know, I accept that in the jocularity of his moment. But the fact is, this is a guy who has lived by plan. We are in the shadow, if there was any sun out today, of a $450 million investment the guy made here in the city of Chicago. And you don't get to top something like that out if you can't make a plan and execute. So he knows what he's doing. He's very serious about this. He's got some horrible, horrible expressions and things like that. There's no question about it. But I think we're going to see those go away. I think that was a part of his differentiation in the primary.
Why do you think that?
And I think that he is going to continue to tap into a generalized resentment of the established order, the status quo. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be a vessel for opposition to things as they are. And I think he's going to get Democrats, Republicans, blacks, Hispanics. I'm predicting he is going to do better with Hispanics than Mitt Romney. I think he'll do better. I'm serious. I think he's going to do better with blacks.
Why do you say that? I mean, after.
Because I have been pulled aside. I was pulled aside by a very well-known former African-American office holder here in the city of Chicago. And she told me, we are going for Trump. We are sick of Hillary. We are going for Trump. She said, do you know why we're going for Trump? I said, might it be because he's a Republican and you've decided to come home to the party of Lincoln? She said, hell no. She said, we're going for Trump because he's talking jobs. And that's all anybody in my neighborhood cares about.
Dave, I mean, that's something that resonates, jobs, and that's what Trump
obviously
is talking
Democrat,
economy.
The person I'm talking to.
Yes, it was implied.
Do you feel like some of the more traditional Democrat voters, the Latino vote, the African-American vote, would cross over to a Donald Trump candidacy?
No. I'd accuse Chris of smoking the hopium, except that's the wrong campaign. But, you know, the idea that Latinos who currently have a nearly 80% negative view of Trump and rising, that African-Americans who have a 90% negative view of Trump and rising, and women who have a 72% and rising. I mean, the thing is, normally what happens after you secure the nomination is you make peace with your party, you bring everybody together, and then you start realizing that politics is ultimately the game of addition. You start adding constituencies and trying to reach out. Remember, what did Donald Trump do on Cinco de Mayo? He tweeted out a photo of him sitting in front of a taco bowl talking about how the best tacos are served at the Trump Tower cafeteria or restaurant or whatever it was. And he said, happy Cinco de Mayo. I love Hispanics. And the internet blew up and everybody's like, this is what he genuinely believes is what passes for communication. And it's not. And instead of softening the edges, as Manafort says, well, he knows he's playing a part. No, he's not. This is him.
So you don't believe that this is like Chris said, like he knows what he's doing. He's doing it on purpose.
I think he knows what he's doing. But I think he has, you know, it's interesting. Everybody's like, well, but he's so adaptable. You can't pin him down. I'm like, no, he has one gear. And the gear is attack, 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 and make it personal. So what was he doing in the last 48 hours? He's going after Bill Clinton. And he's going after Bill Clinton and launching into these tirades about Bill Clinton. And I'm like, look, if you want to relitigate the early 90s, you know, go ahead. But that's actually not what people care about. People do care about jobs. Chris is right. But Hillary Clinton's going to be all over the job. She's going to be all over the issues.
She's had 8 years, 7.5 years with
as
the Obama
Secretary
administration.
Of State.
Well, yeah. What has she got to show for it? I mean, she is going to, this is the fundamental incoherence of the Democratic proposition to the voters this year. Have more of the same, but it won't be the same.
I understand that. And I understand that this would be the year for Republicans to build on that, that argument.
Right.
But is it going to be tougher with a candidate with Donald Trump who doesn't articulate that as well as, say, a more polished politician?
You know, we say more polished politician in a framework that we had the day before Trump announced. Okay. And the whole point about this, the whole point about our politics today, the whole point about the gravity of the issues that are facing us domestically, is that everything has changed. I think everything has changed. I think that things are so bad now for so many people not even turning up to look for work that the Democrats are just, they don't have anything to say. And that's reflected by the fact that they don't even have a campaign over there on their side. They just have a coronation. And Hillary,
you're on the wrong. Chris, you lost your place. That was the message from 9 months ago. But then we had Bernie Sanders. That was not a coronation.
No. You yourself said 7 months ago, we want a challenge, but not a serious one. You said that on another radio show. Which
I did.
We're never on other radio shows together, Justin.
Right, it's only
dang.
You, Justin. We never
cheat on each other. We let that cat out of the bag. But you said we want a challenge, but not a meaningful one. And what you got was a meaningful one. And that just proves the point that Sanders and Trump are both reflective of a generalized antipathy towards the established order, also known as the status quo.
Will that status quo, though, will that sort of malaise or you know, will
anger.
That continue into the general? I mean, at a certain point, like, does a Bernie Sanders voter who did not win go, you know what, I'm still going to exercise my right, I'm going to vote? You see a Bernie Sanders?
I see the Bernie Sanders people sitting on their hands. I don't think they're going to be motivated by it. And when she comes down on the side of Wall Street the way that she has, I think they are running for the exits.
What about a Ted Cruz supporter who has no interest in a Donald Trump?
I think by the time, look, the folks who are saying that Trump is unacceptable to be thought of at the same, you know, cerebellum as one thinks of the presidency are the ones who said that Ronald Reagan would cause World War III. So what Ronald Reagan did was end the Cold War. OK, so they were wrong then. They're wrong now. They don't get it. They weren't in touch then. They're not in touch now. And Hillary, when you talk about jobs, I honestly, David has been citing these, you know, 211,000 jobs, you know, created. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What did we have under Reagan? But more importantly, what did we have last month? 110,000. And this is on a base of people who are so dispirited by Barack Obama's strangulation of our economy, they've stopped even looking.
Roebling's fired up. Lundy.
He's fired up. He's ready to go. Unfortunately, his horse that he's got to ride is named Donald J. Trump. Look, I am not underestimating the Donald Trump threat. I think Donald Trump will be a serious threat. I think it's going to be the most negative campaign in history. And we'll see if Hillary has figured out kind of the how do you manage when Trump is insulting you? What do you do? Because none of the Republicans could figure it out. I mean, it was amazing watching one after the other. Who would think that an insult like, oh, he's so low energy, would totally turn the front runner for the nomination into mush? I mean, it was ridiculous watching how these guys apparently forgot how you fight on the playground. Hillary Clinton has been fighting on the playground for decades, and she knows how to take a punch.
Yeah.
I'm quite confident that she has. And so far, what she's doing in response to him launching the nasty insults is masterful. And it's really fantastic. And by the way, in terms of the Bernie Sanders, well, look, I've said on this show also, I think that it's overstated the amount of Republicans who won't vote for Trump and the amount of Democrats who won't vote for Clinton. I think that is overstated. I think they have a bigger problem than we do. But on the Bernie Sanders side, when Elizabeth Warren starts getting out there every day and talking about how great Hillary is and why Hillary Clinton's got to be the nominee, or why Hillary Clinton has to get elected,
and Bernie Sanders
is going to do that.
You're talking about a woman who created a Native American background in her genealogy so she could scam into a job at Harvard Law School.
Chris is transferring his psyche into the Trump insult machine.
Well, I mean, it's
Dude,
true.
Dude, you're really adopting
is
Trump as
is
the standard
Is it true
bearer.
Or not? Did she claim to be a Native American or did she not? What did
it's
she do?
It's irrelevant.
No, it's totally relevant because it shows the lack of
the
character of the Elizabeth
Warren
crowd.
The question was about Bernie Sanders voters, and Bernie Sanders voters.
They have a hell of a lot more integrity than Elizabeth Warren.
I love it. All right.
Senator Hiawatha from, Newburyport, Massachusetts. Speaks.
This is like the end of Rocky III. We're like, oh my god, look at this round three.
They both look terrible.
This ain't so bad.
Chris Rowling, Dave Lundy, they are the panel Touche. They meet every Monday here on The Download. It's great to have you guys. This is going to be a fun summer.
Fun summer, baby.
See you soon.
All right, coming up, Joseph Sakura, the star of the show Power on Starz. Season 3 starts up here next month. We'll talk with him about his days in Chicago working on stage and also about getting out to Hollywood, a career in acting, and avoiding being typecast. He's kind of the thug. All the stuff that you see him on television, he's sort of the muscle. So we'll talk to Joe about that coming up here. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest tonight is starring in the Starz crime drama Power. The show is produced by 50 Cent, and the third season of Power is slated to begin in July. One of the main characters in the show is Tommy Egan. He's played by Chicago theater vet Joseph Sakura. He grew up on the Northwest Side studying acting at Columbia College, and he's still a member of the off-loop theater company Shattered Globe. And he's my guest tonight at the big table. Joseph Sakura, welcome to The Download.
Justin, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, pal.
You know, you've had such a career in acting. I have to ask, what are you doing back in Chicago? Because I know you're from here, but you don't live here anymore.
It's always great to come back. So any opportunity I can kind of have to come back, I'll take it, which I hope producers aren't listening to offer me less money because I might just take it. But I'm doing the season 3 finale of Chicago PD.
Ah.
Playing another pretty violent guy, which is so interesting to me because I'm about the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, but I keep getting cast as these guys.
You have that look, especially in Power. They got you. You're the muscle.
Yeah. I'm the muscle in Power, that's for sure. But Tommy's also a very dynamic character, which was kind of my mission when I got cast, not to make him two-dimensional, but really fill out that third dimension. Because I think he's also oftentimes the comic relief of the show.
Now, you've done a lot of TV. I mean, like mm-hmm. you said, you're gonna be on Chicago PD. But with Power, this is the third season.
Mm-hmm.
And your character, Tommy, he's a big part of it. I mean, this is a show that you have stuck on.
Well, the show has really evolved in a way to become about the two brothers. And that being Ghost, played by Omari Hardwick, who's obviously African-American, and myself, Tommy Egan, who is really the street muscle, and Mari's Ghost is really the intelligence, kind of trying to up the game, get out mm-hmm. of the streets, transition that money into something legitimate.
He's the kingpin.
Right, but as Tommy is too. And I think that people who are following the show can kind of see that Tommy has already done all this legwork, that it's kind of a serendipitous discovery to him, like, hey, I've actually been putting in this time. Maybe I'm the boss and he's number two.
Well, there's a lot going on in the show. I mean, obviously it's a crime drama, but it's also there's so many twists and turns with it. I gotta ask for you, I mean, does it change as an actor to be able to stay with a show for three seasons, to be able
Absolutely.
To go, I mean, do you change 100%. The way you approach the project?
Well, it's been a dream. Courtney Kemp, our show's creator and executive producer and showrunner, so she's the head writer, is really an exceptionally smart woman and driven and strong, but also accessible. And I think that she's written very three-dimensional characters. So when you write a three-dimensional character and you have an actor who really wants to access all of that emotion and all those different kind of states, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to transcend and really talk to people so people can see themselves within that character. And I think that that's happened within all four of these characters, Notori Naughton, Lila Lauren, Omari Hardwick, and myself being the four leads of the show, and really trying to we've progressed those characters along with the writing, and then the storyline has really branched out huge. Yeah. And this third season is going to blow us up. Watch this demographic grow. It's going to be unbelievable.
I'm interested because, you know, I a lot of working actors, especially a lot of working actors who have come from Chicago theater, mm-hmm. they'll take what they can get, and they'll play in whatever show that they're offered. Maybe you'll see a lot of them on Chicago Fire, Chicago PD.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of staying with a show and being able to grow in that character over, you know, now coming up in three seasons, I'm interested in how, as an actor, you approach your craft. I mean, because now you're comfortable with your surroundings, you know your set, you know mm-hmm. the actors that you're working with. What do you do as an actor to push yourself, to challenge yourself to continue to grow and not, you know, sit on your laurels that you have a gig?
Well, I think part of it is also learning how to change in different ways. I think as Chicagoans, even those of us that grew up here in the city, there's still a certain kind of general Midwestern work ethic. If I work harder, this will happen. If I do this a little bit more, then I'll succeed. That's not the way in acting, and for a lot of reasons.
Really?
Yes. Working hard is definitely an admirable attribute. However, when you're in a show for 3 years, if you keep working hard, sometimes you have to listen to what the world is telling you. Relax. You got this. Show up. Be calm. Be present. And just answer back.
Right.
Take it a little bit easier. Work smarter. Don't work so hard. And those are really hard lessons to learn for somebody who was taught, like for my dad, you know, do it right the first time.
Right.
If you're cutting a lawn, if you got to edge the thing, you're going to sand it down, sand the whole thing down. Do it right the first time. Come on, work harder. So I have to kind of let that voice take a back seat and say, and have confidence and allow flow. There's a little bit of arty fartiness in it, you know, a little bit of mysticism if you want the magic to happen.
The idea of going into acting, what drew you to this?
Because I just wanted to be heard. You know what I mean? I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be seen. I was a middle child. I was growing up in that kind of lower middle class environment with policemen and firemen and city workers and kind of a Chicago that of my dad's era, you know, just kind of, and my grandmother who I love so much, the, you know, and just being in Jefferson Park so much with her and kind of going through these motions of like this kind of wonderful working class city of big shoulders idea for generations. But that wasn't necessarily me. I was trying to find my voice. You know, I'm a Polish American and my mother's father was really hurtful with because I started speaking Polish as a little kid, but it was my grandmother's Polish, which was he called me a gutter bum. Don't speak like that. You're doing a disservice to the language. You know, who am I? Where do I belong? So I started getting into a little bit of mischief in high school, you know, pre-high school. I started writing my name on stuff and, you know, joining a wonderful group of guys, J4F, a great graffiti crew of really eclectic people who just wanted to have their stuff seen and heard. And then that leads you into a different kind of direction. I started fighting. I was a boxer out of Matador's Boxing Club, which no longer exists, at Augusta and Noble at the Northwestern mm-hmm. Settlement House. And just all these different ways to be seen. So then I got into acting kind of at the same time. I was just experimenting with all of these different outlets and seeing what stuck.
I want to talk to you about that because you went to Columbia College, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about that experience, about making that transition from being a graffiti artist to a boxer. And when you got to theater class,
mm-hmm.
what drew you in? Because it's not just about, you know, oh, great, I'm going to read lines. There's something there that happened.
We got a story for you because I got kicked out of the first college I went to.
There we go. I knew it. Right. Joseph Sikora, he's the star of the show Power, which is on Stars. It's the third season is slated to begin in July. He grew up here in Chicago, went to Columbia College, a theater member of Shattered Globe. We'll continue the conversation right after this. Stay with us.
They say this is a big rich town. Yeah, I just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight in studio, the big table, Joseph Sikora, actor. He's on the show Power, which is slated to begin its third season in July. He's a Chicago theater veteran who is still a member of the off-loop theater company Shattered Globe. He went to Columbia College. And that's kind of where we left off the conversation
mm-hmm.
about going into college. Because as you said, you know, you were kind of into mischief in high school, pre-high mm-hmm. school, you know, writing your name on things. Then you got into boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about getting into theater school. What happened to you in theater
school? Well, you know, my parents were very, obviously, very wanted all of us to go to college. My other two brothers, I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. My older brother also went to Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles, which is where I went, and my younger brother went to St. Ignatius because they finally learned their lesson for us, that that wasn't necessary. Hey, listen, my brother was a valedictorian. He's a smart guy, but it wasn't a good school for me. It wasn't challenging. It wasn't challenging in the right ways. I mean, I hated taking two buses to school as well. I could have just taken one and gone to St. Pat's. Nobody cares. Or walked down the street to Taft. That would have been fine,
but
too.
But as a kid, I mean, that you asked those questions, real questions.
Yeah.
Like, why am I taking two buses to school?
Yeah.
Why can't I just go where all the people in the neighborhood, all my friends from the neighborhood are going?
Yeah, well, you know, some of the kids from the neighborhood went there, but a lot of kids that I was friends with went to Lane. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been better for me because of the shop classes. I was better with my hands. My two brothers, my older brother and my younger brother, are very cerebral. I mean, they're incredibly intelligent people. Not that I'm not intelligent. I'm just smart in different ways than that. So when I was going to school, I said, of course, I'm going to go to school for acting because I was involved in theater when I was really young. And I was in a commercial with Michael Jordan. And
that is on your trivia.
Yeah, there you go.
So I was in a commercial with Michael Jordan.
That's true. It's all true. So I just thought, you know, there's definitely that's what I'm going to do. So I got into a school here in Chicago, a university that has an acting program. I forget what they call it. It's kind of one of the ones that's all encapsulating. They kind of hold your hand and walk you to each class type thing. It just didn't work for me because the teachers were set up more like gurus. You weren't encouraged to ask questions about this, kind of like, okay, it's kind of like move your arm in this way.
Well, it was a training school. More
exactly.
Than,
yeah, why am I doing that? Right. Don't ask the question. Right. Just do it, and the answer will come to you. And I wasn't having that because I was paying for a lot of my school. You know, so that was like I deserve.
I'm paying
answers.
To ask questions.
Exactly.
Right?
So when I was asked to leave that program, I went to Columbia College, and I found it just such a rewarding experience. I had wonderful teachers like Sheldon Patinkin and Jeff Ginsburg, who were incredibly nurturing to artists. And if you asked a question, they answered a question. It was simple.
And I remember taking classes in the theater school under Sheldon at Columbia College back in the 90s. And what I remember about it was it brought a lot of people in from different disciplines.
It wasn't
an acting school per se. You had a lot of people who were coming in who wanted to learn the craft but didn't necessarily go take all the classes to lead up to it.
It's the best acting training I ever had in my life for that reason. You had kids who were film majors. You had kids who were writing majors taking an acting class to fulfill that. What do they call that?
Just like a prereq.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So then they're doing that, and that is the most helpful thing I've ever had in my life for television. Because God love every actor. I'm pro actor, but some people are not very talented. So when you're on a television show and this person's a lead in the show and they're awful, you need to learn how to say, all right, listen to that line and still take it as truth and answer back.
Right. You almost have to become a teacher yourself.
Then, I mean, there's, you know, gifted teachers like Jeff Ginsburg, like David Cromer, who understood how to teach every student differently. So every student got his own personalized education, which I thought was phenomenal. I mean, to that kid who was an artist, who was coming to take an acting class, you know what? He might be incredible. And that teacher might be able to explain to him something that opens up that shell where that beautiful flower comes out. It doesn't happen to everybody.
Well, I believe that performances, especially when you're talking about the arts, whether it be writing or photography or radio or anything, I mean, it's a big part of it. And that school was teaching people how to respect performance, to articulate performance. And that to me, is why that works.
Yes. It's taking it seriously but lightly.
There you go. All right. So after that, I mean, you obviously were able to transition from Columbia College into a great theater.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most supportive.
Chicago, right?
I mean, Shattered Globe, everybody should go see In the Heat of the Night. It's playing right now at Shattered Globe. Tickets are cheap. Just go to New York. You'll believe me. It's a really nurturing environment. And unlike New York, I think that you have the opportunity. You can go from play to play to play. And back when I was coming up, you could do something at the next theater, and then you may be lucky enough to get into something at Remy Bumpo, or good Lord, you'd be in something at the Goodman or Chicago Shakespeare. Holy cow. And then you could go right back into doing something at Shattered Globe and a Red Orchid and just kind of bouncing around.
So that ethic, that Midwest ethic that we were talking about works here.
Absolutely. Obviously. If you want it to work for you. It's also difficult. You can do the woe is me and you can drink your troubles away. But you know what? A lot of actors drink their troubles away and still did every show.
Well, you know, I always hear people talk about that Midwest ethic. And it's an interesting twist on it that, you know, sometimes just applying, you know, the idea of hard work to the coast, to a television show, may not be the best way to just sort of directly do that. There are ways to, you have to learn where you're at. But you hear so many times that people who came up in Chicago through theater or through, you know, writing, what have you, when they go to Hollywood, they have a leg up. Most of the people that are working there from
it's
Chicago
true.
because they do work hard.
Look at the one person who I probably mentioned way too much in interviews and stuff, but look at Michael Shannon. Mm-hmm. He's an inspiration to me in so many ways, and the main one is that nothing is more important than the craft of acting. No promotion, no look, anything outside of the actual work of exploring the human condition, that old thing that everybody talks about. It's actually true. And to see somebody put that into work is incredible. You know, he's got that brooding exterior that everybody mm-hmm. says, but you know what I mean? That's true. And then somebody like Tracy Letts, an Oklahoma native who obviously came up through the Chicago ranks.
Steppenwolf.
And hardworking guy doing all his theater. I just saw Mary Page Marlowe, which it's great. I mean, he talks about humanity. So I think that kind of the hard work is evident. But he's also a guy, he's so light too in the room. He's the smartest guy I ever met and funny and intense.
Well, let's take a break for the news. We'll continue the conversation because I really want to get at how you approach the craft of acting, especially when you get to Hollywood. Because, you know, working on television shows, auditioning, that whole thing, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it besides just working on the craft. There's a lot of distractions.
And to a guy like me who still has to go in for pre-reads.
Right. So let's talk about that. Joseph Sikora is the he plays Tommy Egan on the show Power, which is on Stars, and the third season is slated to begin in July. He is also a member of the Off-Loop Theater Company Shattered Globe. He's my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. Join our own Wendy Snyder at Builder Supply Outlet for their new kitchen and bath showroom grand opening. It's a private after-hour special showing from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. this Thursday, May 12th. Well, that discounts us. We're not going to be able to go. Maybe we could do, like, if Wendy's out there, maybe we could just, like, set up, go remote.
Yeah.
You know, right. Just for the first hour, then get back in here. I'm not sure the math works.
Might be difficult, but
I just...
look into it.
It sounds like a good time. Get inspired by the 14 new designer displays and talk with their experienced professional designers who will help you plan your next project. I just think, like, you know, Rose got these, he's talking all the time about how his show just parties all the time.
Yeah, they were.
It's like an after party and the after after, and then they did the this, that, and the other. So you and me, we just do the show.
Go home.
Yeah, I want to go to Builder Supply Outlet. Start at Builder Supply Outlet, then do the show. And then afterwards, see where the RoCon show with Anna DeFlantes is. You know, they're probably at the Billy Goat.
They're out somewhere. They're living the life.
I know.
Heard Wendy tell a wonderful story about how she whittled a hockey stick down to make it her Blackhawks flagpole holder. Like, she used a hockey stick, and it wouldn't fit in her Blackhawks flag, but she, like, worked around, whittled it, and now that's her hockey stick holds her Blackhawks flag that she hangs out in the front of her house.
So Builder Supply Outlet, there's a connection,
mm-hmm.
synergy.
Yep.
Two creative forces coming together. Meet Wendy and shop the showroom while you enjoy culinary treats from Pinstripes. Registration is easy. Just go to WGNradio.com/events to register and confirm your attendance. Builder Supply Outlet is just 5 miles east of the Oakbrook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview. Register now for the special after-hour showing this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Looking forward. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Joe Sikora, but coming up at 9 o'clock, Jason Vincent, chef, restaurateur, new partner of the restaurant Giant. Very excited to have him in studio. Obviously, 2 years ago, stunning news that Knightwood, would you call that Bridgeport? It was kind of like Bridgeport and...
Pilsen?
Pilsen, Bridgeport, right there. Okay, we'll call it Pilsen. We'll call it Pilsport. Pilsen favorite, Knightwood, closed. That was no fun. That was such a great restaurant. Great, great brunch. We're going to talk to Jason about his new Logan Square project. He is back. I want us back and better than ever. 2 years off to understand a little bit more about the restaurant industry, and we'll talk to him coming up 9 o'clock. And at 9:30, it's the worst. That'll be fun. Soli Santos and Alexandra Sarpalis will be in studio. I think I'm saying that right. And then coming up at 10:30, the band Marrow, which is awesome. That band is huge. They're opening up for Maceo Parker at Millennium Park in June. Can you imagine that? Like to open up to be a band, an indie rock band, and be able to open up for one of the greatest horn players in the history of horn. I mean, he played for James Brown. That's all right. Am I the only? I feel like this is where I need to open up the radio so people can go, yeah, right on. Because I feel like that's a huge deal. Baddish, don't you think it's a huge deal?
I love it. He's great.
Mace Parker and those the monorail.
Mace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be, I'm like, well.
It's classic. Why don't we do a show from there?
I was going to say, I just almost got excited. I'm like, I'm definitely going to that show. And I'm like, all right, we'll be here. Yeah, let's get a show going there.
Why not? When did you say? In June?
It's June, yeah. It's like the 23rd.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's part of those
23rd?
Monday nights. Or...
It's a Monday night.
If it's the 23rd, that's the night before my birthday, so let's all party.
Oh, a Baddish birthday bash.
Oh, yeah.
You could do a lot with Baddish, Bash, mm-hmm. birthday. There's a lot of bees in there. James Brown. All right, let me call Maceo.
Take it to the bridge.
Take it to the bridge.
Yeah.
Baddish birthday. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight at the big table, Joseph Sikora. He's the man who is Tommy Egan. I always say the man who plays Tommy Egan. I guess that's how you'd say it. He plays Tommy Egan on the show Power on Stars. The new season starts up in July. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's here in Chicago because he's going to be in the new Chicago PD, the finale that's coming up here. Mm-hmm. Also, member of Shattered Globe Theater. How often do you get back here?
I don't get back here often enough. My parents still live here. They live downtown. My cousins live up on the north side still. So I get to see some friends who I came up with and whatnot. But I love Chicago, especially in the spring. It's the sexiest place on earth.
Let's talk about, you know, you live in New York, but I would assume with your career you spend a lot of time in L.A. You spend in Hollywood. Or...
You know, Los Angeles didn't really agree with me.
Why not?
It's a very difficult place. It's a place because of, like I was saying earlier in the interview, that it was hard for me to feel like I wasn't seen. And in Los Angeles, it's really hard to not play the game and to not be construed as a number. And one of the things that put me over the edge, because I lived in Los Angeles for 6.5 years, but I was back and forth to Chicago, to New York as much as possible.
I mean, you have, as an actor, if you want to get into television and film, I mean, you have to go to the industry.
You have to go to L.A. Right. And I still go to L.A. I just came from L.A. just to go through auditions to have my face seen rather than being put on tape. So, you know, you seem like a human every now and again. But it's for some people, it's not for some people. The final straw for me was when my car broke down for the fourth time and my tow truck driver asked me not to sit on his headshots. I thought, you know, I got to get out of here.
Well, let me ask you, because a lot of people might be listening on WGN Radio right now. I mean, maybe they're not familiar with an actor's life. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not familiar. They know you from the show, or maybe they know, you know, you on different shows that they watch, and they're entertained, and they don't really want to know necessarily. But it's a hard life being an actor because of what you talked about. There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of auditions, as you mentioned right before the break, pre-reads. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things where the industry puts actors, and there's a lot of them, through a huge sort of rigmarole just to be able to get some work.
It's true. I mean, I think a lot of times the amount of time that you have to put into an audition, depending on what your process is, you put in, so say there's 4 pages of sides. You're putting in 12 hours
now,
of work. What you read for an audition.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The part of the script that they give you to read for the audition, that's maybe 4 pages. Sometimes they're out of their minds and they give you 13. Here, read your whole role for your audition. Let's see how that goes. You know what? He has red hair. That doesn't work for me. Thanks. Yeah. I feel really respected right now. So it's hard not to have a little bit of that bitterness. So what I've always done is find things other than acting that fulfill me. I just started replaying guitar. I played guitar coming up my whole life, and I just really enjoy it again. And sketching, you know, trying not to do it on walls anymore. But.
So the idea of, I mean, I guess this is probably true for anybody, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, mm-hmm. or you work at the grocery store, making work your only place where you're going to be fulfilled is probably not a great proposition.
Yeah, even when you're doing something like an artistic craft, like acting or painting or whatever you're doing, finding that other thing in life that makes that something that you can come back to for joy and real exploration, rather than I have to pay my phone bill and I'm dying if I don't get this job, rather than like, you know, this other thing fulfills me up. You know, maybe I don't need that full plan of 200 and friggin' megabytes coming down on something. So it really
now you're
does.
On season three of Power. You can get the big plan.
You can... Well, yeah, you know, that's actually, it's, listen, it's very, very nice to have the steady employment. However, I think people think I make more money than I do.
I mean, that's the weird thing, because there's this thing in this country, but ever, I think it's just as human beings, that if we see you on that screen,
right,
we think that you are you've made it.
But even though I've had a 20-year career before that, nobody knows who I am before this show, really. I mean, people in the industry know me from certain roles that got a lot of notoriety. You know, the common person's not like, oh, you were that gnarly biker from True Detective season one. Oh, you were the pregnant guy in Grey's Anatomy. Oh, you were in the series finale NYPD Blue. Joe Slovak, Brooklyn Salt Narcotics. I know you. No, of course not. They're like, who is this guy? So, and then so do the networks. So when Stars came out and you sign a contract, you sign it for 5 years, mm-hmm. it's not like, hey, we're going to offer you a ton of money, because they're taking a risk on this show as well. Right. They didn't know it was going to be the number one show on Stars and have 6.5 million viewers with combined numbers and bring the network from being the third or fourth network into the second position.
And I'm not your manager and I'm not your agent, but I would assume that they're not necessarily saying, if this show goes well, Joseph, you're going to be a rich man. No, you're stuck on your contract, regardless if they're getting six.
You know what? You have you hope that they say you're doing such a phenomenal job. You know what? We're gonna do this out of. But you can't bank on that. You can't bank on anything. What you can do is do good work, and then have people respect you, and then take that into the next thing and use that the next time it comes up.
We talked a little bit about your mischief. You know, you kind of were a tough kid growing up. I mean,
I was a scared kid and then acting out.
So another thing in Hollywood, which happens, is typecast.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
The idea that, you know, the first job you get, you're a thug who robs a liquor store. And they're like, he's mm-hmm. good. You know, I know a guy who robs liquor stores pretty well. Let's get Joseph. And it continues. Yeah. And then even, you know, do you find yourself in Hollywood, even when you get success, having to fight the idea that you can play one type of person?
I think you do, because then people also say, do you have any tape on the guy? And then they say, oh, yeah, well, we have another, you know, 30 shows that he's done that he's very similar. Oh, geez, he's great at that. I'll take him. But then I also have done work like one of my favorite jobs ever, called The Heart She Holler, which was on Adult Swim Network, starring Patton Oswalt and Amy Sedaris. And it was one of the most fun shows I've ever done, and a comedy, and a very fun comedy. And that's another thing that I think Chicago theater really primes you for, is that if you're not well-rounded, you're limiting your options anyway with all of the different plays and all of the different places you can do it.
So for you, I mean, how do you avoid that? I mean, how do you get people interested in Joseph Sikora, the actor, as opposed to the characters that Tommy Egan?
Well, you know, if all else fails, I can go back to doing more theater where the opportunities are still big. And not like I'm embraced by the New York theater community. I mean, I still have theater houses that I've auditioned for many times, even with, you know, the minor success that I've had, even with being on Broadway, mm-hmm. that these off Broadway places won't even see me. Which is interesting to me, or I won't get cast. But New York Theater Workshop has been incredibly supportive. The Irish Repertoire Theater, that I'm a company member of in New York, Kieran O'Reilly, one of my close friends, has just been incredibly supportive. So I do have theatrical homes there.
So you can go back to the theater to reinvent it.
Sharpen the tool. Right. And I also write. Our good friend Rick Kogan, we're involved with some projects together. And, you know, hopefully get on both sides of the camera. So you have to kind of keep inventing and thinking outside of the box, stay creative.
You know, you're in town to shoot on Chicago PD.
That's true.
You've got season three here of Power coming out. You got a regular job there. What do these opportunities, what do they provide you? Meaning, what's next for you? What do you want to do now that you're starting to get some regular work and you're not having to figure out what your next job or your next paycheck is at? Are there things artistically, even in television, that you want to go after that these jobs afford?
You know, in television, I'll save that for when I need the job so much. I mean, a lot of these television opportunities, I did a couple episodes of Underground on WGN. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's give some love to the network. And that was because Anthony Hemingway, who directed the first two episodes of Power, was like, you know, I believe you can do, you know, that your range is huge. So here's this crazy, weird character. Let me send you these scripts. And I said, great, I can do anything I want. He said, sure. Well, then you show up on set and the showrunners are like, maybe, what are you doing exactly here? So you you kind of have to check yourself a little bit. Or did NBC's The Player last year, just another guest. But that was another offer from one of the directors saying, hey, this would be...
I don't want to digress from the question, but it's fascinating to me that you continue to talk about, you know, being able to work because of the relationships.
It becomes... That's the next level, is when the relationships come, people see your work. It's all about... And then that's when it becomes about who you know. So what... Back to the question is, what do I want? Is really to be the transition into films. I love films. Mm-hmm. I love the media of film. I love the encapsulated two-hour, you know, beginning, middle, end of it. I think it goes back to the roots of being a storyteller. It's been really difficult to transition into film. I mean, from indie to big feature to everything. It's just like I'm almost there, and it just almost never happens. And even though when I did Jack Reacher, Chris McQuarrie, who wrote the film and directed the film, and I really admire, he was just like, you know, it was instant. Like, you know, it was just you, and like, there was no question. And I'm just like, how come, like, this is the only time that's happened in my life, if that's the case?
Well, not to get too philosophical about life in Hollywood, but it does seem like a life of almosts. Did you know that going in? And then when you think about that concept, what does that make you feel?
I don't know. If I'm, now that we're well into the interview, I'll say something as if I'm on my second beer, I guess, or something. I feel like I've never lost that spark of there's great things out there for me, and I just know it. So
when you don't get the part, or you get the second callback and that kind of thing, it doesn't, like, destroy you. You're like, you know what? That wasn't meant to be.
Sometimes it hurts. You know, I'm human, but... A friend of mine who I grew up with, you'll love this quote. And if you're listening out there, Kenny, you'll love it too. When I went out to Los Angeles, after I went from New York back to Chicago, I'm going out to LA, he says to me, he goes, Joe, do yourself a favor. Don't tell nobody how you grew up. Don't tell nobody none of these stories. I said, why not, okay? He said, because you're soft and it's going to break your heart. Nobody's going to believe you.
There you go. Let me ask you this question, just more of a life question. You know, that you're looking for other things to fulfill you, whether it be other artistic pursuits like guitar or writing or anything like that. Do you see a life ever without acting?
I don't. It's been really hard for me. People say, if you weren't going to be an actor, what else would you be? And I really always thought that I would be a fireman, that, you know, because I always put my name on the list. It's hard, man. It's hard. It's one of those weird things where every now and again you'd be crying for no reason and stuck in Los Angeles and being like, why did you do this to me, God? Like, if I didn't have some sort of weirdo calling to perform and be, you know, that vessel and believe in magic and believe that my experience as this fake person in front of people would somehow change both of our lives at the same time, I wouldn't be doing this. I swear to you, it's a hard life and it's heavy on your heart, but, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I was called to do.
The third season of Power is on Stars. It begins in July. My guest tonight, Chicago theater vet and the man who is known on that show as Tommy Egan.
It's true.
Joseph Sikora. Joseph, thanks so much for taking some time out to be my guest tonight.
Thank you, man.
All right. Well, much more coming up tonight on The Download. Chef Jason Vincent. It's going to be here. Very excited about that. We're going to play the worst. We've got prizes to give away. Already there's some stuff coming in on the worst.
I love when people text at 7 because they're so excited.
Yeah, they want to go see, when they go see soccer. We still got the $50 gift card to the Builder Supply Outlet.
Mm-hmm.
We got the tickets to the producers. We got pizzas. All sorts of stuff. Yeah, let me see what we got here already. There was a really good one right at the beginning. Dude, I worked at a Costco. Stay away then. You suck.
You had a little problem.
No, I was just saying one of the worst things was how you always have to give your card at the beginning when you walk in the Costco. And it's really busy, like on a Saturday. Well, sir, need to get that card. What was it to you? I'm going to still need the card at the register. I'm not coming in there to, like, steel browse. Right? It's a flawed system. I'd love to get the gentleman on or the woman on who got mad at me about it. Just to be like, yo, I don't understand. Like, are people sneaking in? Are you just protecting your cheap food court? Is that what it is? Like, is because you go in there and you can get, like, a pizza for a dollar and hot dog for a dollar and, like, a huge Coke for a dollar?
Is it perhaps because, okay, say they don't check you at the front. Is there maybe at a time at the register where they forget?
No, they do. No, because it's just like any sort of membership where you have to scan that card before you even to get any of the they ask before you even get in line.
Yeah.
If you get in line, they go, "Can you have your card?" They won't start scanning until your card. So you're getting it twice, and then on the back end they check your receipt on the way out.
Oof.
I know.
That would make me not want to go there.
Someone just said Sam's Club does the same thing with the card. And I understand the concept of a membership. I'm not dumb. I get it. I just don't understand why it's so crazy.
Can you walk into the store without a card and just hang out?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like at the front door, that's what my submission for the worst is. At the front door, there is a gentleman, in my case at my Costco, who says, "Do you have your card?" to walk into the store.
Well, that's ridiculous.
As in, if I look at these pieces of lawn furniture, like I somehow scam the system. It must be to protect the food court because you can get like inane food for really cheap, and it makes you almost not want it because you're like, it can't be that cheap.
Yeah,
no way pizza's that cheap.
Well, the concept then, if let's say I'm not a member, I want a card. How am I going to get in to get a card?
I think they got that covered.
Oh, okay.
I think that like you can just go up to the like they go you got to go over there to
help
the
desk or something.
Help desk, yeah.
All right.
But it costs money. It's like $60 a month or a year. $60 a year, $50 a year.
Well, if you want like, you know, 10 cases of 1,000 bottles of water or
I'm still the jury's out with the amount of stress because it is packed. Mm. The freedom that I feel is being abused by having to show my identification everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And the fact that I don't really need the 6-pound Cheerios. I'm not sure I'm saving money. I feel like somewhere in there, like an economist,
mm-hmm.
maybe University of Chicago or something, needs to take a look and see if I'm getting ripped off.
Yeah. Seriously, how can you use that much? I mean, if you buy it now, the shelf life in your place.
Right.
Will it last a year, 2 years, 3 years?
The thing that really gets me is I get the concept. It's for people with big families.
Okay.
So let's say you got 6 kids.
Oh, then you need
the huge sour cream, right, for the tacos. Like, that's what it is. I'm always like, no one needs that much salsa. No one's going to eat that much hummus.
Right.
But there is a huge, and then you're like, well, you know, if you got to feed 6 kids and you're rolling through, you want to get that stuff to hold. Hold on. I want to go to lines real quick. Rich, you're on the line. Tell me what I don't know about Costco.
Oh, the weird thing is I found this out from a coworker because for a while, he said there was some weird law now. Yeah, believe it or not, they have to let you in without a card.
Hmm.
They could even have to let you shop there.
Ah.
What they can do, though, is if you don't have a card, they are allowed to charge you an extra 15%, what they call an upcharge, because you're not a member. And the thing is, for the guys that are the gatekeepers at the doors, what if I'm not a member and I want to be one? The membership desk where I have to pay my membership
right.
is inside the building.
Right, it's
so
crazy.
How can you say you can't get into the car building without a card? But you have to go inside the building to get the card.
See? Rich, thank you, Rich. See that? See how excited Rich got? Let's keep
wow.
going. Gary, tell me something I don't know about this Costco scam.
Okay, at most of the Costco's, there's an entrance and an exit. You can go in through the exit to the food court and not have to use your card in order to buy food.
Is that legit, areas. Or are you scamming the system?
That's legit. I have a Costco card. I never show it when I go in and when I want to get a hot dog or
like a pizza or something like
that. You don't need it for that.
Right.
You don't need a card for that. The food court is open to anybody who wants to go in.
So it's not the food court.
And they don't ask you for your card at the food counters either.
Right. So, Gary, are you annoyed like me that I have to show my card to walk into that store?
Most of the time I don't have my card, so I end up getting a temporary card to go in. It's not troublesome at all.
That sounds troublesome. You have to get a temporary card. That sounds totally troublesome. All right, Gary. Thank you.
No, it doesn't bother me. Maybe it bothers other people, but I have no problem going in. This is a good deal most of the time anyway, so I don't mind spending an extra minute getting a temporary card if I've forgotten mine.
Okay.
But I just want you guys to know that you can go in there and eat anytime you want.
Thank you, Gary. That's what I thought. I thought that's why they were checking the card, so you couldn't get the real good deals on the food court. But Gary's saying, no, that's not the case. So anyway, yeah, we could do a whole 4 hours, obviously. I mean, the line's lit up. They're like, let's give some...
Well, you touched a nerve.
That touched a nerve on Costco. It's true. I get a lot of people right now are saying that I should just tell them I'm there for the pharmacy and they won't check your card. They let you write.
Oh, there. I need drugs.
I need to get my pills. Can we see a card? I need to get my pills.
And then fall down on the floor.
And then I fall down, drool a little bit, and they're like, all right. All right, more to come. We'll get more Costco the worst coming up at 9:30. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, the worst. We got stuff to give away. 312-981-7200. Text us what your worst is, and we will be giving away the top three. We've got some tickets to the big soccer match that's going to be at Soldier Field. We've got gift certificates to home improvement stores. We've got tickets to theater, the producers. So much to give away here. Also coming up later in the program, live music from the band Marrow. They are opening for Maceo Parker at Millennium Park coming up in June, which I think would just, that's what a choice gig. It's one awesome. I can't wait to have them here. They're going to perform some live stuff. 2 years ago, Chicago diners mourned the news that the Pilsen favorite Knightwood closed up shop. The restaurant was a favorite for not only the neighborhood, but for foodies from around the city. It made Chef Jason Vincent a local star, and it led to nominations at the James Beards and other places. Fast forward to this spring, it was announced that Chef Vincent is back. He's partnering on a new Logan Square concept giant with Ben Lusbader and Josh Perlman. Good news for Chicagoans who missed Vincent. Jason Vincent, welcome back to the download. Well, you've never been here before, but I feel like welcome back to the scene.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Do you feel good being back?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You and I were just talking about our kids and all that kind of stuff. I have two little kids. You know, it's definitely, I'm not going to say it's not bittersweet. You know, it's restaurant industry gets
right
hard and hard and hard, but you know, you do what you love and you do what you were born to do, I guess.
Is that why you walked away from Knightwood?
It was part of it. Yeah. We had our second daughter and, I got to spend the past 2 years with her. You know, I feel like kind of a jerk. You know, I did that selfish thing where it's like, I mean, Ben and Josh were still working, you know, and I was changing diapers and being the mom and the dad, and my wife is a beautiful mom and dad, and you know, it's
well, take us through. I mean, if people say that, I mean, but working in a kitchen is a long day. Take us through like a prototypical day for what you would be doing at Knightwood.
At Knightwood, we got regimented after a few years. But you know, no matter how regimented you get in the restaurant business, I could tell you my day yesterday or 5 years from now, and it's never going to be the same. It's a 15-hour day, no matter how you cut it. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he was like, "So what are you going to do when you start again?" And I'm just like, "I don't know. I'm going to drop the kids off. They're both dropped off by like 9 o'clock, and I'm going to go to work." He's like, "When are you going to be done?" I'm like, "I don't know, like 1, 2. He's like, "What do you mean, like siesta, like in the afternoon?"
Right.
Like, I'm like, "No, dude, like a.m. He's like, "You just spelled out like three of my days."
Right.
And it's, you know, whatever. I'm definitely not falling on my sword. I'm not crying about it, but it's that's how it goes, you know.
Were you surprised at the sort of, I mean, it's a, you probably weren't surprised, but were you, you know, what was your feeling to the way that not only Pilsen and Bridgeport and the neighborhoods sort of lobbed on to Knightwood, but that it was such a success that people were coming from all over the city and the country to come to Knightwood for what you were doing there. Was that did you expect that to happen when you started that restaurant?
I'm not going to say I never had the scene in the mirror where you look at yourself and you're like combing your hair and you go, "Whoa, this is going to be awesome. There's going to be people like waiting," or whatever. I mean, there was, you know, it was a tough road. There was, we opened strong at Knightwood, and then the location kind of, it is kind of the other side of the planet to some people.
Well, right there in Halsted. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I remember really frequently saying to people like in year two and three, like, you know, pretend like you're going to a VEC and then stay on the freeway for 30 seconds. that's all you have to do when you're there. And it was just it was humbling, absolutely, that we were getting people from, like, you know, the North Side at all. But we were getting a lot of them, which was great. So, you know, we thought about, like, when we were talking about Giant, we were like, you know, there's cheap rent in Pilsen, there's cheap rent in Bridgeport. And you got guys like Kevin Hickey, mm-hmm. who are doing the Duck Inn, and it's amazingly great, you know, in Bridgeport and other places in Pilsen that are opening up. We considered it, you know, we looked at spaces, and it just so happened that we landed in Logan Square.
Well, we'll talk about Giant, but we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about what you guys are planning there. But, you know, for you, one of the things I read was that you learned a lot about the restaurant industry by walking away. Like, as you return to the scene and do this again, what did you learn from what happened at Nightwood?
Well, you know, it's a different perspective. Like, when you're immersed in it, when you're doing it 15 hours a day, like, you know, you can't look up. Sometimes you can't understand what's going on around you outside of your space. You know, like, there's the baseball manager's analogy. Like, I can only manage my team, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's two sides of that coin. It's like, that's a good thing and a bad thing, because in the restaurant business, you got to see what's going on. You got to know what's going
on. You got to pick up on trends. You got to change the way you're thinking about things, yeah.
Trends, not so much, but changing the way you're thinking about things is hugely important, because I'm an incredibly stubborn person, and, you know, you latch onto something, you say, well, we're doing it this way, and this is why we're doing it this way, and you have, like, a good reason for it internally, and it's a bonehead move, you know, and it takes sitting at home maybe for 2 years, like, changing poofy diapers, to make you say, oh, you know what? I blew that. I didn't do a good job on that. And, like, you know, I need to really realign my protocol.
Well, surround yourself with good people.
Absolutely.
Ben and Josh included. Absolutely. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Chef Jason Vinson, who has reemerged on the scene. His restaurant, Giant, will be opening within the month, would you say?
I would say within the month.
In Logan Square. We'll talk about that concept.
I'm also a liar.
2019. It'll be open before the Lucas, right after the Lucas Museum opens up. You can go to Giant as well. No, it'll be coming up this sometime soon. But I'll ask you about that coming up here. We'll be right back here on The Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Chef Jason Vincent. He's the partner on the new Logan Square restaurant, Giant. He was the man behind, with others, Nightwood in Pilsen, which closed up shop 2 years ago, and he's back. So let's talk about Giant. I mean, you teased it out a little that you looked in spaces in Pilsen and Bridgeport. What drew you to Logan Square?
You know, I worked with a really great realtor for this kind of stuff. And it was just one of those things. We were talking to, like, landlords on another space, who are really great guys. And if anybody wants their names, you know, about the space, they're amazing. It had nothing to do with them, but it was a really big space. You know what I mean? And, I kind of think I have, what's it called? Like, idiots syndrome or something, where you don't feel like you belong, or what's it called? Like, interloper syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And it's like, it was a really big space. I need a learning curve. Ben and I talked about it a lot. It wasn't right. It was like three times the money, three times the build out, three times the management, yada, yada,
yada. Well, I mean, I could understand the concept of growing into a space or wanting to have a restaurant that's bigger because you can put more butts in seats and be able to turn
up.
But talk about that. I mean, that's part of being a restaurateur in Chicago, is trying to be smart enough with how big your restaurant is, not just get the, you know, like, oh, there, this used to be a Target. Yeah, we'll take this spot, as opposed to, you know, a storefront, which is, I mean, that is a constant kind of ebb and flow, especially when it comes to, you know, choosing a space that might be too small. What happens if you have the same success you had and people are lining up around the corner?
A, is that a bad thing? Right. And B, I'm not a restaurateur, man.
But
I'm not.
But you surround yourself with them, right?
Well, like we're kind of going at this like, you know, in a pretty analog version of restaurateurs. Like we're restaurant guys, like cumulatively or whatever. We have, you know, what, like 40 years experience. Great. You know, like we're all boneheads. I mean, we're going to open this small place that we're cooking at, like, and it seems novel, you know, like, but it's just one of those things that it kind of tucks me in at night. You know, it subdues my neurosis a little bit. It's still terrifying. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But we are going to be there.
You've talked a little bit in sort of previewing the concept that for the fans of Nightwood, it's not going to be the same thing. It's not going to be the sort of more expansive or outlandish stuff you were doing at Nightwood. This is a different concept. Explain what you're doing at Giant.
Well, I think at Nightwood we were given free rein to do whatever we wanted, which was really beautiful of the partners there to let us do, and we definitely benefited from it. But you know, we did some weird stuff. We shook out the cobwebs a little bit, I guess. Here we're hoping to do very recognizable food. You know, like just food. Like, it's so weird that people don't just make food anymore. And you know, to, like, this is maybe a little bit off topic or not the information that you wanted or whatever, but it's like I've had the time over the past 2 years to like look at menus, and I'm a menu nerd. Like, Josh brings me menus every time he goes to New York. I love looking at them, but like a trend over the past however many years, 2 years that I've noticed, is people will write their menus. Chefs will write their menus as like, you know, normal thing, normal thing, normal thing, weird thing. And it's like this punctuation mark. It's like this like exclamation point or whatever. And we may use the weird thing. You know, I'm not saying we're not. Like, we have a big, right, big pantry, a global pantry, if you will, at our disposal. And it'd be silly to like, you know, turn our backs on it. But man, like, I got to be honest, we're not going to put the weird thing on the menu. Like, we want people to like sit there.
Well, there's a bit of pretension to it, but there's also
it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and it also, I would say, puts a lot of stress on the consumer as well, because then you feel like you're there, yes, you're spending absolutely money, you don't know what it is, so you're like, but I'm sure I know. You know, yeah, I'll take that.
Right, and it becomes like a, you know, like kind of a contest. Like, do I know more than the waiter? Or does the waiter know more than me? And it's like, I get real nervous when I go out to dinner, you know, just like as a normal person, like it's like a thing. And I don't want to feel like anybody's thinking they're better than me or, you know, like, I don't know. I just want it to be like a place where people go and eat and like,
what's a place for you? I mean, you know, you're a family guy. You probably don't have a lot of time to go out and eat, but you know, from your days at Nightwood, even what kind of restaurant do you like in Chicago? What are the kind of places that, you know, a Jason Vincent goes to?
Yeah. Without the little girls, when my wife and I go out, we love going to Fat Rice, Parachute, Bar Marta, I think, mm-hmm, is doing an amazing job. Just normal, like that, like normal places, like it's delicious before it's interesting, but it's still interesting, you know, like that's the creed, you know, and I'm really interested to try Royster. Our anniversary is coming up, so I'm kind of like mind grinding on where my wife and I are going to go. But like, you know, I don't know. Like there's, but that's, you know, to be honest, that's not to take away from like the places that are doing stuff that, right, I don't necessarily, you know, either have the money to or the desire to like go hang out for like a 5-hour meal. Those guys are like at the top of their game. You know, and I emulate that. Ben emulates that. Josh emulates that. Like, our goal is to be way better than you expect, but we want it to be like just okay to come in.
Well, there's so much. I mean, what's happened in the last, you've been a part of it, but I mean, the last decade in Chicago restaurants has, there has been this cult of celebrity. This, I mean, this unbelievable, you know, way in which chefs become more than chefs. They become brands, and after brands, they become empires. I mean, it's like, it's amazing to watch some restaurants, even, you know, right here on this strip on Michigan Avenue, but over West Loop, just right. just open restaurant after restaurant after restaurant. I mean, do you see yourself, you know, right now you're starting with Giant and Logan Square, you know, getting back in the game. Do you see yourself with a career trajectory like that? I mean, is that something where you want to do, where it's like there's a couple of Jason Vincent restaurants in Chicago?
Well, I mean, if I'm looking at it from a like, I have kids and I need to put them through college, like, you know, looking glass or whatever, microscope, some other piece of scientific equipment that makes things bigger to my eye. I mean, it'd be silly not to say yes. But at the same time, it's like, if you don't make the first one good, who cares? You know, like, what's the point of doing Blackbird if it's terrible? You know what I mean? You're never going to do a VAC. You're never going to do Big Star. Like, you have to be in the moment. You have to, like, concentrate yeah. on the moment and really, really, really dial it in. Really tune up that microscope, or however you make microscope looking things bigger. But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. yes. Like,
you got to hit a home run.
You got to hit a home
run.
At
least a double.
But you got to learn how to hit first. Right. That's the point. Like, you got to take batting practice. You got to clean your cleats. You got to tighten your gloves. You got to get your timing down. You got a lot to do before you hit a home run. So that's what we're doing, you know. And if, huzzah, we hit a home run, yeah, of course. Like, we have ideas. It's not like our ideas stop with, like, right. let's do a 44-seat restaurant. Like, it'd be silly not to do another one.
What, as final question here, what is, you know, we kind of joked around the idea of when you're opening. What's the hurdles? I mean, is it when you're opening?
God.
No, right?
That's
but
a
when
big
you're
question.
Opening a restaurant, I mean, is it just permits and making sure you're legit with the city? Is it making sure your food is right and your menu's right? Is it, you know, front of house design? What is it that you need to button up right before you open a restaurant?
Man, that's a question.
That's a question.
I mean, like, I'm again a novice at this is my sixth restaurant opening. My first one was when I was 15. I was a dishwasher in Cleveland, so I was a dishwasher for that restaurant opening. I've gone through restaurant openings at just about every on every rung of the ladder. So this is gonna be my first as an owner. And it's amazing, like, how naive I was. You know, there's a lot to do. There's just a lot to do.
There's just a lot to do.
Yeah, man.
To-do
I mean, it's like, it's not, it's nothing insurmountable, but, the word rabbit hole pops into my head a lot. You know, it's like, I don't remember the day when I said, okay, you know what? We're going to do this. Like, we signed this lease in August, you know, and like, we did literally nothing in that space, literally nothing. And we barely went in there for the first 3 months for a whole abatement period. You know, it's like, I didn't have a contractor. I didn't have an architect. I didn't have, like, it's amazing.
Chef Jason Vincent of Knightwood fame is about to open his new restaurant, Giant, which is over on Armitage and Logan Square.
Bonehead.
He and his other boneheads, Ben Lustbader and Josh Perlman, are the partners in this. Looking forward to it. That's a great stretch right there with Scofflaw and the...
That's amazing.
Yeah, so a nice addition to Armitage over there. Chef Jason Vincent, thanks for being my guest, and good luck with the restaurant.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. It's time for The Worst, our weekly segment where we complain and bemoan about the worst things around us for prizes. 312-981-7200 is the number. Give us your worst. And if you make the top three, we're talking serious loot. We got tickets tonight. We've got so many things to give away. And I lost my page, but there's European soccer. There's also tickets to the producers. And we have a gift certificate to the Builder Supply Outlet. So we're talking some serious
nice.
Loot. Joining us tonight to help with the festivities are two of the members of the Cates, the all-female comedy ensemble with a show this Friday night, the 13th at the Bookseller in Lincoln Square. Alexander Sarpalis is a performer with the Cates. Thanks for being here. Good to see you. Your showcase, Mom Jeans, is on Sunday nights at the Windy City Inn.
Correct.
All right. And you're also going to be at the Funny Women's Festival on June 19th.
Yeah.
All right. And the worst regular. It's a weird thing to say.
I will take that as a compliment.
Soli Santos can be seen on stage with the Cates. She's performing at Alexander's Showcase Mom Jeans on Sunday night. And then again at Hydrate in Boys Town on May 19th. Correct? All right. There we go. Good to see you. Thanks for coming
back. It's great to be back.
312-981-7200. The line's already lighting up. Pete Zimmerman's here as well. Pete, how are you, my man?
I'm wonderful. Excited.
Pete is always sort of the commissioner of the worst, and the commissioner always gets to go first, so why don't you start us off tonight? Pete Zimmerman, what's the worst?
The worst, Saran wrap.
Why Saran wrap?
It never works. You can't get it out of the thing. When you do actually, you know, cut it, and then it folds up and it connects to each other.
It is the worst.
I don't understand. Why do people use it?
I agree. You know what? I'll give you a hint. I just found this stuff at the grocery store. It's called Press and Seal. It's very similar to, are you guys familiar with
but
this?
But very yes. sticky.
It's very sticky on the sides, so it takes care of that issue of, like, it just bunching up in your hands.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing as Saran Wrap. It's, like, the same use to cover stuff. So I'm just telling Press and Seal. Look
yeah,
for it.
That's
but
great.
You're right. Saran Wrap is the worst.
I end up just, like, I fold it in a ball and I throw it out. And I sit there, like, 10 times in a row.
After he wrestles with yeah. it by himself.
Have you ever cut yourself?
Yeah. Cut yourself on the edge.
Brutal.
That's no good. All right, let's go to our panel. Alexander, what's the worst, Alexandra?
The worst is, hate to say it, tourists in Chicago on Michigan
just,
Avenue.
Just all of them, huh?
Yeah, every single one. I work across the street.
Oh, you do?
From a day job. And they prevent me from getting Chipotle on a regular basis.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, that might not. Which one is the worst? Getting Chipotle. Chipotle or not getting Chipotle?
Getting the Chipotle without food poisoning.
That's
great.
The worst.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
But with food poisoning,
I found myself here on Michigan Avenue in the WGN studio as becoming more and more accepting of the tourists of Michigan Avenue.
That's generous of
you. Know, but at first I was like, oh, what's this? You know, they'll stop by. But I feel like there's some pride here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm the representative of Chicago to people who are from Cleveland or from Ohio,
yeah.
and they went to dinner and they just want to walk to the river and walk back and then go to their hotel, and then they get to see like us in here, and I give them a wave and I say, I'm gleeful at the idea of being part of that ecosystem.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Like, that's beautiful.
If I hated it, what would be the point?
Like, yeah.
But
you're
I used
the ambassador.
To be like,
you're the ambassador.
I don't think she's really vibing off of what you're saying by her lack of sincerity.
I just sit in that Starbucks across the street and glare. It's not as much fun. Here, you're
right.
You're a celebrity. You're an ambassador to Chicago.
I'm an ambassador. I just get to give them a wave and be like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, we're talking about Donald Trump. And then
yeah.
they move on. All right, Soli, what do you got? What's the worst?
This, I think, maybe more just for the ladies. But and this may be representative of myself, but I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could possibly be waking up, going to the bathroom, looking in the mirror, and finding one long chin hair. I don't know. It's not sexy on the ladies. It's not.
That's the worst. I'm asking. I'm not. Yeah.
Well, you have multiple, several of them clustered
yeah.
on your face, and it works better for you.
Well, it does. There are times where the similar thing for me would be nose hairs or right here, like where the cheeks,
upper cheekbone,
it starts
yeah.
to grow up. Like it starts to grow, and it's like
you're
it
like
starts.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, it gets. Yeah, it's
but
weird.
You can't grow
so
any
start,
hair on the top
yeah.
of your head, so you're a bald Sasquatch.
I'm a bald Sasquatch. I find myself like grooming the northern part of the beard too. Like, and that's very weird. You always feel like, all right, I'm going over the top.
That's very borderline homeless looking.
Exactly, right?
What is that hair for? Why is your body producing that?
I think my body just wants to get back to, like, you know, Neanderthal stage. Like, yeah. You just need hair on the face. So there you go. All right, 312-981-7200. Let's go to the line. Let's go to Greg. Greg, what's the worst, Greg?
The worst is when you're at the grocery store and you pick the line with one person in it and they end up writing a check. And then you got the lines next to you where six or eight people go through each side and you're still waiting for that person to write a check.
There's nothing worse than the games we play in our own heads about which line to go in. I mean, thanks, Greg. Thanks for that. Yeah, there's nothing worse than the anxiety that produces of which line I should be in to go faster.
I always choose the wrong line.
Me too.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
I think there's no right line. That's the joke. That's the philosophy. That's
it,
like,
it doesn't
so
feel
weird
that way when everybody else in all the other lines seem to be moving faster. Except for the line that I
would
choose.
Like to hear from someone, 312-981-7200, who feels like they have the luck.
There's someone out there.
There's someone who's listening right now who's like, oh my God, I know how to game the system, and I will teach you. I agree with that as the worst, the lines. I also think the paying by check is pretty hilarious, and it's funny that 10 years ago that's how everybody did it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that seems so archaic.
When I went to 1994, and I was living in Chicago, we would have to ride our bike to the Dominick's and then buy a pack of gum and then write the check for like 25 and 85 cents to get $25 back so we can have cash.
Like the big
Lebowski. There are no ATMs yet. Yeah, it's very...
Okay, let's backtrack on your story right now. You said you rode your bike and then you wrote a check. How old were you? Were
this
you
would
10
be 19.
Or 40?
Yeah, what? One of the two.
Make up your mind.
One of the two.
Okay, because that seemed really weird.
Oh, it's 40. That would be pathetic. At 12, you're like, oh, that's cute. He's a go-getter. No, I was like 19 years old, Columbia College kid. It was like, all right, so, but that's how you'd get money, right? That was the way you'd do it. You'd write over the check. Dating myself.
I still pay my rent with a check.
Do you?
Yeah, but that's because my landlords are 90, so they don't know any other way.
I'm not 90, and my tenants pay me with a check.
Solely, get with the times.
Direct deposit.
Let me do some of these texts, okay. 630, the worst is the Friends of the Park. Seriously, how can you stop a $750 million gift to the city? All right. anywhere but the lakefront. That's it. I don't know how many times I have to say, no one is against the Lucas Museum. Just don't build it on the lake. Right?
Right. That's what they've been fighting.
Okay. All right. 630 says the worst is any engineering exam, where half of it doesn't make sense. Yeah, that would be the worst if you were an engineering student and you took an engineering exam and it didn't make sense.
If not, that really isn't
it
the worst,
all doesn't
because
make
I don't
sense
have to worry about that.
Yeah. Something we're not going to have to deal
none
with.
None of that makes sense
right
to me.
630 says the worst is when... I always get tricked into reading these things, and then they're usually about segments that happened on the show within the last week, and I don't realize it's
too
far in. Like, this is about Colin. This is about Connor. The worst is when WGN had the guy from AutoZone backing up Donald Trump and saying stupid stuff. Our buddy from Seth Meyers. So yeah, there you go, O'Malley. Connor O'Malley. You guys know Connor O'Malley?
Yeah.
Yeah. He came on and he played the character he's been playing where he's been going to Trump rallies. And he's been like a Trump supporter. He came on the show and took calls backed. It was very funny. And then this 630 did not like it.
And it was like a month ago, too. So he's just
ago
getting around to...
Wow. That's how angry this person must be regarding that episode.
Let's see. Called earlier, no. Okay. Hair on a bar of soap. 219.
Well, especially if it's somebody else's.
Yeah. That would be the worst.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, because that's one of those things where you're like, okay, let's say you're in the shower. That happens in the shower. Shower's an intimate thing. There's only a couple people in your life that are probably using that same shower. If it's a public shower, like a gym, yeah, gross. If it's someone you live with, it's not as gross, right?
It's not as gross.
It's not as gross.
It depends on how much you like the person that you're living with.
Right.
Then somehow it seems worse the less you like them.
Right. 847 says the worst is bank robbers.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I like that
one.
Thanks, Ryan. How in this day and age, with all the technologies, it's still possible to rob a bank? I'm writing that one down. That could be a finalist.
It's a very good
bank robbers.
It still happens, though, right?
Yeah, especially the ones wearing the black and white striped clothes, and then the, yeah, right. with the bag Mask. That has the dollar sign
the
on
hamburger?
It, and they're running out. Yeah, exactly.
All right, you know what? Okay, and then the last one here is the worst is someone who doesn't understand the concept of membership stores. All right, they're making fun of me.
Costco.
They're making fun of me because I was mad at Costco earlier.
Oh. That's reasonable, though.
I was mad at Costco. We're going to go to break. I don't want to get too into it, but I just don't like the concept that I have to show my card to get into the store and then use the card to check out. It seems inefficient to me, and I understand someone wrote in, well, it's great for jobs. Okay. But my point being that, like, you don't need to check my card to get into your store. That just seems like now that's like a bad marketing thing where you're like, let's make it really exclusive.
Super exclusive.
Really check the card when you walk. I just feel like it's redundant, and I got into a little
fight. You don't
want
to feel important.
No,
I
want to walk
special.
By and go, got it. No, I paid you my $60 a year.
Yeah.
Just give them a wink, and they know. As opposed to I got to pull out my wallet. Do you have your card? I do. It's behind my Venture card. It's behind my credit card. It's behind my debit card. It's behind every card that I have.
Well, you know, you're walking into Costco. You should be prepared.
You know what?
It should be more like a concierge. They should know everybody and know what you like and need. And there's bottle service.
Alexander nails it.
I'm going to Costco now.
Right. You should. Yeah. You should.
VIP.
You should pitch them your services.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Alexander Zapalas, Soli Santos in studio with me tonight. Two members of the Cates, the ensemble, the all-female ensemble, has a show this Friday at the Bookseller. When we return, we'll continue with the worst. 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
It's going down,
y'all. All right, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're playing the worst. We've got prizes. A pair of tickets to the soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field on July 27th. That'll be a jam. Mm. $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. A pair of tickets to the Producers, now playing at the Mercury Theater. Wow. These are
legit,
the best prizes we've ever had.
Legit.
It, right?
Yeah. Nice.
It's like you get to call in to say what you don't like, and you get stuff that's awesome.
Amazing.
Right?
Make it rain.
That's not the worst. That is not the worst.
Alexander Zapalas is a stand-up, as well as Soli Santos. They're my guests tonight. They're members of the Cates, an ensemble that is playing at the Bookseller in Lincoln Square. Also Laugh Factory every...
Once
a month.
First Thursday.
It's a great show. Go check it out. All right, and a bunch of other credits we'll get to. Let's go to the phones. Rosemary, what's the worst?
Well, my son was standing over me this afternoon and said, "Oh, Mom, I found a gray hair." And I went, "Okay, I'm 79 years old. So what's the big deal?"
So, Rosemary, that's the worst, that he's calling out your gray hair when you're 79 years old.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous?
It is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. That was good. I kind of like that one, Pete. There's something good about that. Let's go to John. John, what's the worst, John?
The worst is when you see your food getting ready to come out to your table and your waitress is eating off your plate.
Oh, no, dang.
That didn't happen. That happened to you?
That happened to me 20 minutes ago.
No way.
Oh, no.
20 minutes ago.
Yep.
Where was she eating? What did you order?
What did I order? A Reuben sandwich with fries.
Would she eat the Reuben or the sandwich?
The fries. She was taking fries off my plate.
She took half of that sandwich.
She took a bite and then tried to cover it up with the fries.
Wow. John, that's crazy. Yeah.
He seems to be okay with it, though, because he's like...
Yeah, you're okay with it, huh, John?
No, I'm not.
Did you call it out?
Oh, yeah. I talked to the manager, and we left. I couldn't stand for that.
Oh, no. Did they at least give you, like, freebies or something, or what'd they do?
No. They said they look at the tape, see if it really happened.
Oh, you're going to look at the tape.
That's the worst. Looking at the tape is the worst.
Yes.
We're going to call the FBI.
All right, hold on, John. That's good. That's a good one, too, Pete. Remember that one. I have to say that okay, let me write this down.
That's
so
crazy.
I have it in my notes. I'm writing it down this way. Waitress eats Reuben
off customer's plate, right?
Doesn't she know she's supposed to do that in the kitchen?
Right. Yeah.
And then over,
and
look,
then come out.
Dip it in that Thousand Island. It's delicious.
It is so delicious. Good. I can see. And but that's the thing. When you're a waitress, isn't there more where that came from? You just go back and go, oh, that's real good, man. Can
that's
I get some
I'm
of those
saying.
Fries?
Eat it in the kitchen.
And that's probably every meal that she's eating there is going to be like the same stuff over and over.
It's just three fries from everybody's plate, and she's good for the day.
It's good.
It's all about moderation.
She got greedy. Yeah, she flew too close to the sun.
Yes. Right.
She did.
Her fry wings melted. She so sad.
All right, Zim, you got another one?
Yeah, how about the worst is when you record a sporting event, mm-hmm. say perhaps a Cubs game, say perhaps yesterday.
12-inning extra inning game.
And you get home and you start watching from the 5th inning on. And you get to about the 11th inning,
oh, no.
And the DVR cuts
off.
And
I
you
knew
didn't
he was
extend the
that.
Time.
That's brutal.
Oh, that's terrible.
You watch all that, and you don't get to see the exciting win. Well, you look it up, but you wasted all that time.
All that time.
That's so sad.
Watching Bryce Harper get walked 6 times.
Don't you think that in this day and age with the technology, you should be able to record a show
Absolutely.
And not have to extend time?
Yep.
Or it should automatically tape
I mean,
and everything.
That's an egregious situation because they went, 13 innings or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that happens much more frequently in football because you record a 12-3, you know, and the other game will start. And if the game goes over, and they almost always do, I had that happen with a Bears game where something happened at the end, and it's the sweat of fast-forwarding through the thing,
yes.
And you're like, this is getting closer to that end. You know, and I'm like, there's no way. There's still 4 minutes on the clock, and this thing is only showing me 30 more seconds.
Ugh.
That's the worst.
Sometimes that happens to me with Jeopardy. When it gets preempted, and I miss Final Jeopardy, and I just can't stand it.
Yeah, that's the worst,
it's
too.
It's terrible.
Missing Final Jeopardy is the worst. Okay, is that your worst, Alexander?
Yeah, I was going to say also the worst. Listening to other people explain their dreams.
Yes.
I just listened to a friend's today.
Boring.
That's so good.
It was my grandma, but it wasn't my grandma. And we were in my old high school, and we were walking down the hallway. I don't care.
No, nope. It's a dream. It's fake. It didn't happen.
I'm never going to care.
I have had that, or I have a friend who will get upset from the dream. Like, yeah, I was really upset. I'm like, all right, but it's not real.
No.
So let it go. Who cares? You can see so many things in real life to be upset about. Why get upset about your dreams?
Exactly.
That's a really good one. That
it
so
is.
Then it was like it turned into a unicorn, and then I was, you're not going to believe this, I was in my dorm, my freshman dorm. I don't care. I don't know any of the things you're talking about.
No.
That's good. All right, Soli, what do you got?
When you try to open a bag of chips... And then when you pull, you like end up using so much force that it rips open, and now there's an explosion of chips everywhere.
Too much force.
Yes.
Too
it's
much
either
force on your
not
chips.
Enough force or too much force.
And it's usually I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're like, oh man, I want to make this perfect. There's this weird kind of perfection that goes
there's
with opening a bag of
there's
chips.
There's a window.
Yeah, and you're like, I can do this. And then when it doesn't go, you get frustrated and you
and
pull
then,
harder.
And before
then,
you know it, you've just exploded a bag of chips in your own face.
Yeah. It's usually Doritos or Cheetos, that orange dust everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. All right, let's go to some of these. All right. 773 says, you know what's the worst? When you're waiting in line for a long time to buy a lottery ticket, and they say, sorry, the machine is closed.
No.
Yeah, that's depressing. 773... I think it's just a joke. The worst is when you make love to Willie Nelson just to find out afterwards it wasn't really Willie Nelson.
Oh, dang.
That might not be the worst. I mean, Willie Nelson, do you really want to really?
Yeah, were you shooting for Willie Nelson?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Willie
those
Nelson.
Those are some low expectations. Yeah.
630, the worst is Jeep Wranglers. I'm pretty sure they're allergic to any form of moisture. Never seen a vehicle rust and leak in just over a year.
Ugh.
262 says, when you're in the bathroom at a restaurant, you see the cook leave without washing his hands.
Ew.
There's always one of those, right?
Maybe they'll eat those fries off your plate.
Ooh.
Dang.
630 says, the worst is when you're at a sporting event and someone dumps their drink on you and they don't say sorry.
Oh.
So if someone said, I'm so sorry, then it wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
It does
right?
make it a little bit better.
Makes it the worst, right? Okay, and then the last one here burns anyway. The worst is when you put in the pizza. Yeah, no, right?
Burns anyway.
Like, what is that?
Excuse me.
262 says the worst is when you put in a pizza with the time it says on the box and it burns it anyway.
Oh, that made me grumpy.
You really? Yeah. You, you know. 815 says the worst is when there's never a full cup left at the end of the pot of coffee.
Yeah. Get a Keurig. It'll solve all your problems.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
The worst, 214 says the worst, dogs who drink out of the toilet bowl.
Oh.
Mm. And this one, this is a good one.
And then they lick your face. You got to add that. Come on.
And they lick your face. 708 says the worst is when you go to Costco with your new girlfriend and shopping for over 1 hour, then going to checkout, and my card doesn't work because my ex-wife had it canceled.
Ooh.
Oh, that's such a good
Ooh,
one.
That is a good one.
That is
that's
such
so
a good
specific.
One.
Specific.
That might. I'm putting that one next to bank robbers.
Yeah, that one's
that's,
good.
That's, oh, that's.
Put that down.
There's
that's somebody's
so many
pain.
There's
right
so
there.
Many. So many levels
so
of sad
real.
Going on in that
so
one.
Real.
That, it is.
So
that's, real. We are reveling over someone's pain.
Yeah.
All right, we'll read the rest of these after the news. Soli Santos and Alexander Sarpalis is in studio with us tonight. We're playing the worst, 312-981-7200. We'll hit the news. After the news, we'll play for a little bit more, and then we'll give away these prizes. Sound good? Stay with us.
It's going down,
it's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, and tonight it's Monday night, so we're playing the worst. This is, of course, where we complain and bemoan about the worst things in society. The worst things around us for prizes. We have three things to give away tonight. Some great prizes. In studio with me, Alexander Sarpalis. She is the a stand-up who's also part of the Kate's Ensemble.
Yeah.
All-female ensemble that plays at both the Bookseller and at Laugh Factory. They're playing at Bookseller this Friday night in Lincoln Square. Also, Soli Santos is also a stand-up comedian. She's playing Hydrate in Boystown on May 19th. And they're both going to be at Alexandra's Mom Jeans Showcase at the Windy City Inn this mm-hmm. Sunday night.
Yep.
Which you should go out and see.
Yeah, lots of wigs.
Lots of wigs.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of wigs?
A lot of high jeans, a lot of wigs.
I like that.
Yeah.
Where do you get your wigs?
Boystown.
Yeah?
Yeah. You go in and you're like, I'm looking for Eliza Minnelli. And they're like, old or young Eliza. And it's great. It's wonderful.
I'm a big fan of the costume shop on Fullerton. The one over by DePaul, Chicago Costume. Because
mm-hmm.
I had a good relationship going there for a little bit where I would go in with all these strange, you know, requests. So I need to look like young Dicka. That was the last time I was in there. And then I'd show them a picture and they were like, all right, let's make this happen.
They
That's
got you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
Richard
awesome.
Marks. I had to go in and get like a 1980s Richard Marks going.
Oh,
so
that's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That
fantasy
was a costumes lot of hair also. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one on Milwaukee, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Love yeah. them. They got a lot of weirdness.
When you walk in and they give you a little head nod like, hey, how's it going? And it's not like Halloween season. You feel like you've arrived
yes.
as a comedian.
Because they're so like, I would assume that they're just dying for people, you know, during the non-holiday, you
to
know, Halloween.
There, yeah.
They're like,
they count on sketch comedians.
Yes.
They count on Mom Jeans.
That's true. That's true.
All right, we're playing the worst here. 312-981-7200. Like I said, we've got tremendous prizes. We've got a pair of tickets to the soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field on July 27th. Also got a $50 gift certificate to the Builder Supply Outlet out in Broadview. A pair of tickets to the Producers, now playing through the 26th at Mercury Theater. That's a lot of stuff to give away. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Susan. Susan, what's the worst, Susan?
You're at a toll booth fishing for change, mm-hmm. and you take your foot off the gas pedal by mistake and rear-end the car in front of you.
Oh, good times. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Susan, that's terrible.
That's living large.
Nothing like rear-end at a toll booth,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
that's great.
Oh, man, that's no good. I don't like that. Susan, thank you for that. That's
part of the, like, picking the wrong line at the grocery store thing, too.
Ooh.
Toll booth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, well, there's the toll booth picking of the lane is one thing.
Yeah.
I have a great story. I was in San Francisco
Let
a
us be
weeks
the
ago.
Judge of your great okay. story.
Right? You love this story. I told this story and it didn't really work this weekend. So
then
it
doesn't sound that great.
No,
but
it's
anyway,
one for
go ahead,
one.
Tell
one
us
for
anyway.
Two.
Tell
one
us
for
anyway.
Two.
Go ahead.
So
go
I'm
ahead.
Google mapping from my brother's who lives in Modesto to San Francisco. So you got to go over the Oakland Bridge. You get to the bridge and there, you know, the woman is telling me like, head 4 miles, but get to the bridge to the toll booth. It is like a mad dash, like it always is in rush hour in San Francisco. Like, it's just like cars everywhere, right? But it just seemed like it was a lot for a Chicago guy. I'm like, who knows the Kennedy? This is a lot of traffic. I'm getting up to the actual toll booth, and the thing starts freaking out. Oh. The Google Maps starts going, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn left, turn south, go south, go south. And I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? You know, like, I shut it off. I like put it back on. It comes back. I put in the thing again, and it comes in and goes, turn around, go south. Go south. And I'm like, is this like telling me that like there's an earthquake, like a San Andreas kind of thing, and the bridge is gone? Is there like a World War Z zombie thing happening, and it's telling me, like, but it doesn't know the words?
Right.
And then I just kept going, and everything was fine. Like, about maybe like 10, 15 seconds later, like, I got past the thing, or 10 minutes in this case, and it was like, head 5, 4 miles, keep going. Here's your thing on the left. And it was the exact same thing. So I don't know what happened like in that moment, but it had a total glitch and scared the crap out of me. I really thought like Google couldn't come up with the words to comprehend that there was a mass tragedy coming on the bridge, and it was leaving San Francisco towards us, and we were all going to be eaten by something. And it just didn't know how to tell me. So it just kept saying, turn around, turn around.
And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened. That's where the story kind of dies, but yeah. It's still a good
story.
No, I mean, if I was attacked by a zombie, it'd be a better story.
Yeah, well, maybe, but yeah. Just so it's telling you to turn around into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, like, no, it's just you're on a toll road, so yeah. There's no way, there's no oncoming traffic. It's not like you can even.
Well, I mean, like, if you turned around, you'd be coming the way you came. I'd be right cars at coming at you.
Exactly.
So it's trying to kill you, is what I'm hearing.
Probably.
Google tried to kill you.
Google
okay.
Always trying to kill me.
Love a good conspiracy theory.
All right. 847. Waiting for a series of red lights when there's no cross traffic at any of the streets. Yes. I would also echo that, like, one service entrance light that's, like, coming off an old steel mill or the post office, and that goes red, and you're like, come on. And you just sit there, and nobody's coming. You're just like, come on. That's when you're really like, I'm gonna hit it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna run this.
And who wants to sit by the old steel mill? Creepy.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Very Scooby Doo.
Very Scooby Doo. Just lock your car doors.
Yeah.
773. The worst is when you're at the movies and someone's talking loud on the phone. Who does that?
What?
That is the worst.
That is the worst.
That's never happened to me.
That's never happened to me either.
I had a great one where I was looking at my phone. It was jam packed for Moonrise Kingdom. Something that it's one of the Wes Anderson movies.
Delightful.
And I had a woman next to me, and I was looking at my phone. She goes, "You're gonna shut that off before the movie starts, right?"
Oh, nice. Like, yeah, she was preemptive. Calm down. Oh, that's great.
I go, "Calm down, right?" And I put it away. Like, I'm just, it's not on. The ringer's not on.
I had a woman do that to me too, but this was also the same woman who took off her shoes before the movie started, and then elbowed me several times in the ribs and was like, "Turn that off. Turn that off." And it wasn't even the previews
yet. Ridiculous. What happened with me is that I didn't turn the ringer off. So about halfway through the movie, like, I got a text. I was like, or a call, but I did. But it was just a, and I just like looked over and she looked at me and I'm like, you're right. You're right. I ruined this movie. I did it. All right. The worst, 214 says, the worst who people walk downtown when it's raining with those ginormous golf umbrellas that have the wingspan of a 757. Leave it on the golf course, buddy. That's what she said.
I have an umbrella like that, and I love it.
630 says, the worst thing is when you think you're sending a text to one girl, but a split second afterwards, you realize wrong girl.
Oops.
Busted.
Play on
they
player.
Actually write busted on there. So that's... that's
busted.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm. 815 says, the worst is when you're checking out at Costco and don't realize that the price was for two items. With 10 people being behind you in line, you're the jerk that has to run back for another pillowcase full of Lays.
A pillowcase. Awesome.
The worst thing is trying to open up anything that is sealed in hard, clear plastic.
Oh.
Having to use a sharp knife or a saw or trying to use jumper cables. It sucks. Yeah, it's true. That's the worst.
You can get hurt.
708, the worst is changing a baby's dirty diaper, and she decides to let you have it right between the eyes.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah. Right. She or he? I think he.
It's a she. It's baby. A she, so I guess, yeah, babies will pee up.
Yeah, but I think the little boy would probably have a better.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But there's angles.
Yeah.
A lot of angles. 269, the worst is when your wife wakes up in the morning mad at you because you did something to her in the dream. That is true. That's the worst. 312 says the worst is when people finally escape the trailer park after four generations. You finally escape the trailer park after four generations, but then they move in next to you.
Oh, dang. Oh,
that's okay. I'm sorry. All right.
Sounds like they didn't move far enough.
Yeah. Was it another trailer park?
Yeah, right.
Problem.
All right. Pete, you got one more? You want to wrap? We should probably wrap up here in 2 minutes.
Know what the worst is, Justin?
Mm-hmm.
Spitting.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grow up. You're not on a ball field. You're not on a farm. You're on Michigan Avenue. Stop spitting. It's the worst.
I like the spitters. Michigan Avenue spitters. They just add a little character. You know? Nothing like a Michigan Avenue right in front of the candy store or the
just spreading disease.
Yeah, why not?
It's my favorite. Right?
The worst is when a rainy day or night you continually wipe your glasses only to turn it into streaming mess.
I don't wear glasses. Okay.
That's a good one. 815. The worst is a guy whom you've never met in person and you have just started texting each other and he calls you babe. Is it because he can't remember my name? I don't know.
Probs.
Props.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to say yeah. That's why.
Either that or cuckoo, ca-choo, cuckoo, ca-choo.
Who are you texting you've never met before?
That's
Online dating?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Some Tindering.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But babe is gross.
It is gross.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of times that babe works in any form.
He's probably
Baby's
like
even
55.
Worse.
Yeah.
Baby's just, when I just saw that routine somewhere, where like, why would you call me baby? It's such a weird, affectionate term to sort of sexualize baby.
Yeah. You know, also when I hear women refer to their boyfriends as daddy.
Oh
daddy.
That's
oh,
so gross.
No.
Baby.
Oh,
daddy.
No.
Nope.
Oh. What are you going to be? Oh, baby. Oh, daddy. Oh, father. No.
No. No. That's a new segment we have on Tuesday nights. No.
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 That's the worst.
All right. 312-981-7200. We come back. We will crown the top three tonight. We've got a lot of prizes to give away. It's the download. It's the worst. It's WGN.
What's going down, y'all? When worst come to worst, my people come first. When worst come to worst, my people come first. When worst come to worst, my people come first.
All right, wrapping up the worst. Just cataloging as we speak. We have picked our winners. Very excited here.
Woo!
In studio with me tonight, Alexander Sarpalis and Soli Santos. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks
Soli,
for
this
having
is
us.
Number two. Thank
I
you
know.
So much.
I love
it.
Look at
you. All right, so let me give the credit. So you guys are part of the Cates, which are performing at the Bookseller on Friday, and then again on June 2nd at the Laugh Factory.
Yes.
So check that out. Those are always fun shows. Those are great shows. I've seen that show. Also, you can see Alexandra showcase Mom Jeans at the Windy City Inn every Sunday?
Third Sunday of the month. Yeah,
all
very right. Random.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Keen Observation.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because my last name's too hard to spell.
That's pretty good. Yeah. You get that. Then you even get that early.
Yeah.
Good move.
It's Soli, got like 20 consonants in it.
Soli Santos can be on stage with the Cates. She's also performing at Alexander's Showcase Mom Jeans at Windy City Inn on Sunday night. And then again at Hydrate in Boys Town on May 19th. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Soli Comedy.
Soli Comedy.
Look at you.
S-O-L-I.
You got it. All right.
S-O-L-I.
All right, you guys, you ready? Okay, so before we go to the winners, I'm going to read all the stuff, but why don't we burn the worst that we brought with us? So if you guys have any others that you brought that you want to get at, go for it.
Well, I know this wasn't necessarily popular with you guys, but a new couple shopping at the grocery store can't take it. I mean, you don't have to
Pete
check
likes
in.
It. He
Thank
likes
you.
It.
Yeah, you don't have to check in with someone about the peanut butter. Babe, is this the peanut butter you like? Do you like this peanut butter? I think you like this peanut butter. Is this the peanut butter you like? No, no, no. Oh, yeah, that's a new segment. No.
No.
Sorry.
That's no. Tuesday. No.
Yeah.
No, that's on Tuesday. You did actually give it the new couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been a part of that. And I know that as an old couple, you're just, you're essentially an errand boy. So you get, if you get into the store and they're like, oh, you know what? We need lettuce. And you're like, lettuce at the front of the store. What's the matter? Like, that's like nine aisles away. Oh, you got, oh. Then you have to go get the lettuce.
You
so that's
lettuce.
Why couples shop. When you see couples yeah. together, it's not that they think it's fun.
No.
One of the people has become the errand boy or girl.
Has to go get the straggler.
Yeah. Oh, did we get milk? Can you get milk? I already gave my Jewel card.
No. In line.
I gotta go get it. All right, Soli, what do you got?
The clear packaging tape that when you try to take it at first to unroll, yep. but then you can't, because it's clear, you yeah. can't find the end, and you keep rolling it, and then you see one, and then you peel it, but the whole thing doesn't come off, and then you're rolling, and half the strip is gone.
Yep.
I'm not upset about this.
No, you showed some passion there, some emotion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, great. There we go. All right, let's get some of these prizes. All right, so tonight, third place is going to get a pair of tickets to the Producers, now playing through June 26th at the Mercury Theater, Chicago, featuring a riotous mix of eccentric characters and show-stopping songs. The Producers is a spoof on the big old-fashioned Broadway musical. Get tickets by calling 773-325-1700 or online at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Second place is going to get a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. Meet Wendy Snyder and join her for an exclusive after-hour showing of the Kitchen and Bath Showroom grand opening on May 12th from 6 to 8 p.m. Register to attend at WGNradio.com. And first place, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the soccer match between Bayern Munich and AC Milan at Soldier Field on July 27th. See the world's best soccer back in Chicago and one of Europe's fiercest rivalries. Get tickets online at internationalchampionscup.com. All right, let's do this. All right, so number three. Are we ready? Number three, 847, the worst bank robbers. How in this day and age with all our technology is it still possible to rob a bank? That's number three. Just because it's like, first of all, are you a bank owner? You're that upset about it? You're like,
yeah.
It was just like the John Chase who's like, good to the deal with these bank robbers. They're the worst. And it's dangerous. We saw it today. It is dangerous to rob a bank. But you're right. It is kind of when you see it, another bank robbed. You're like, come on.
Really?
That's the worst. Knock it off. You can't rob a bank.
No.
And it's surprisingly, and I'm for a different segment, there are bank robbers that do get away with it.
Yes.
That is very strange in this day and age that that's even possible.
I can't fathom.
I can't even get into Costco without my card. These guys are robbing banks. All right, number two. This is from 708, speaking of Costco. The worst is going into Costco with my new girlfriend and shopping for over 1 hour. New couple, right? Then going to checkout and my card doesn't work because my ex-wife had it canceled. Oof.
That's not the worst if you're the ex-wife.
The ex-wife is like, yes, score.
It's the best.
That's like the perfect scenario for the ex-wife. Is like, I'm going to cancel their card. Yeah. So when he's in there and he gets like an hour in with
this
new girl.
If he thinks he's going to use this card with that other woman, he got something coming. I'm going to show him.
Maybe she knew he does that. Like his dates were like, we're getting hot dogs at Costco. Woo. Yeah,
right. Maybe that's his thing.
That's what we used to do. I'm not going to let him do that with anybody else. That's what we did when we were together.
We bought 80 granola bars. And a 6-pound thing of guacamole together on our first date. All right. Are we ready for number one?
Yeah.
Are we ready for number one? The number one, getting the tickets for the soccer match, has to go to John, who's back in the line. John, who ordered food tonight and saw the waitress eating from his plate before he got the food. John, you win. That is the worst, man.
Great. We're looking for a place to eat, and we heard your show.
John, you know, the great thing about it, and the reason that we chose you, number one, not only is it the worst, that's the worst, to have a waitress eat your food, but secondly, we felt like you didn't get a favorable outcome.
Right.
Like, you didn't get free anything. They said, well, look at the tape, and you just left. You didn't get to eat.
Look at the tape.
So now you get something for that. You call into the radio station, you get something for your trouble. So, John, not only is this the worst, but it's also the best, if you know what I'm saying. So.
Excellent.
All right, John, thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate it, and congratulations. Congratulations to everybody. What a great The Worst, Soli Santos, Alexander Sarpalis. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
It was a fun show. It
always is.
All right, back in studio, you can hear the warming up of the band Marrow here on WGN Radio. Going to perform live as we try to get a sound check in here after the worst during the news, Roger. Well, Roger, while you and Esmeralda are giving us the information, news, weather, traffic, we're warming up. We're sound checking.
You know, can I just forget the news? Let's just listen to the warm-up.
Yeah,
I love the sound check.
Give me a little drums, huh? Give me a little. Yeah, listen to that.
Rock into the news. Yeah. There you go.
I've decided that's going to be the show from here on out.
There you go.
Always have a music track underneath. What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah, it'd be good. Especially the political stuff.
Nobody ever does that. Why not?
Exactly. I was thinking, like, at least, like, having a band for the worst would be great. Like, to come out, and you can always have, like, just like a little, just almost like a nice little instrumental groove underneath.
Well, and then when someone gives you, like, the worst, do a little wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, there you go. For your jokes, too, a little rim shot.
I'm thinking more just, like style. Like, I could stylize it almost like a beat poet. Like,
yeah.
I could change it up, like, the style. Like, Donald Trump today said this. You know, with the music and
oh yeah, yeah. Kind of like a reading,
like slow
jazz club,
the news, right?
And then at the end, we can all go.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of snapping.
Thank you.
That's what the research, the focus groups for the download. They said not enough snapping.
Oh, well, then we got to give the people what they want.
There you go. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, live in the Allstate Studio Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. The local band Marrow is in studio with us tonight. Very excited to launch a tremendous couple weeks for the band. They're going to be part of the Lake Effect Summit and Expo featuring Lupe Fiasco and Rhymefest this weekend. And then they're opening up for Maceo Parker at Millennium Park in June. How about that? Are you guys Maceo Parker fans?
Yeah.
Like, that's the coolest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the last album was in 2015 called Gold Standard, but the four-piece indie rockers are working on new music. They're going to try some out tonight. Dorian Gehring is on bass. Macy Stewart's on keys, guitars, and vocals. Liam Kazar is on guitars and vocals, and Matt Carroll's on the drums. Guys, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, yeah, so tell us a little about the new music. You guys are putting some stuff together?
Yeah, well, the last record was a long time coming, the one that we just put out last year. And yeah, we sort of had some time at the end of the year off, and we ended up sort of getting a lot of new material together. So,
what's the process
we're
like?
Fun playing it. So,
what's the process like of putting new music together? I mean, do you guys get together and go away to the farmhouse kind of thing, or are you more of
go to a basement?
I've gone away. Some of the new material. I went away to a farmhouse for a couple days to work on it. But it's mostly like me and Macy just sort of bring some stuff to the band, and we work on it, and it sort of came together really quickly, you know, quicker than usual. So we've just been having a lot of fun playing it.
Together, you know, you guys work together, writing songs, putting stuff, you know, arranging songs, putting stuff together with the band. What do you like about working with each other?
Oh, man. I mean, Liam's always got different ideas from me, which is really good. You know, it makes me kind of stretch and not do the same thing all the time. It's nice to work with someone who is complementary and yet so different.
Yeah, I think we're figuring out how to pull ourselves toward each other a little bit, you know, which is really fun, you know, finding common ground that, like, is us better together than separate, you know.
Well, okay, so let's hear some music.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that you guys are live. I love Monday nights. This is awesome. You guys have taken over the studio, the Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. The rain has stopped, which is awesome, and it's time for Marrow. What are we going to hear here?
This song's called Candy Store.
And this is a new song?
Yeah.
Candy Store. Band Marrow live in studio. Take it, guys.
The movie maker made a modern
star.
That was great. The band Marrow in studio. Candy Store, right?
Yeah.
Love it, man. That's a great tune. All right, so let's take a break. Marrow live in studio here. MarrowMakesMusic.com. Their last record, Gold Standard. The Gold Standard is in stores. You can get it. You can get it online. But we'll talk about the new music when we return here. We'll take a break. Live in studio on Michigan Avenue. Marrow, stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. A real treat tonight in studio, the band Marrow, a Chicago band. They got a show coming up at the Lake Effect Summit and Expo, which is a big thing at the Cultural Center featuring Lupe Fiasco and Rhyme Fest. They're also opening for Maceo Parker at Millennium Park in June. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the coolest gig I think any musician could have is opening for any of the James Brown horn guys.
The one of my first concerts ever, and I, like, the legend that I'm, like, most proud that I got to see was James Brown at Washington Park.
Yeah.
In, like, 2003. I was a little kid, and at the time I was obsessed with him. I don't think Maceo was playing with him, but, yeah, like, that was definitely one of the legends I wanted to check off the list. And so now that we're doing a show with Maceo, it's amazing.
I mean, it's great. I mean, to play in that pavilion as well, to play in Millennium Park. I mean, do you guys look forward to that kind of gig? I mean, obviously you guys have played a lot of different places, but that's pretty special in Chicago playing downtown.
Yeah, right? I mean, the last two summers we've, like, you know, we go down and check out the free concerts in the park every Monday. It was on Mondays, right?
Yeah, we would have been sorry, I'm a little sick. We would have probably been at this show even if we weren't on the gig.
Right, yeah. had to go see it.
Well, that's the kind of show that you always want to play, the one that you would be at if you weren't playing, right?
Yeah.
And then this week, the Lake Effect Summit and Expo, which is an interesting thing. There's a lot of workshops and things about creativity in the industry.
Pretty new, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know much about it. Mm-hmm. What are you guys going to be doing with that?
Playing a set.
We're told it's on the same stage as Lupe. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, yeah, no, the city asked us to do it, which was pretty cool. I mean, we're excited to do it. A family friend of my mother's actually is running it, so.
Oh, great.
Oh, actually, it was the woman who painted the cover of our record.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
She's, like, involved, so that's kind of cool.
The gold standard is the record, but when can we expect new music that we can get into? I mean, obviously, you just played the Candy Store. When can we expect new music from you guys?
You know, we were actually just talking about this the other day. Hopefully we'll just get out. Probably not something from this next record. Not a record soon, but hopefully this summer we'll get some singles out there.
All right.
This summer.
Great.
For sure.
All right, let's hear another one. What do you guys want to play here?
Mother of Maladies. It's from our first EP ever and first record.
There you go. Mother of Maladies. Okay, Mero, the band Mero in studio here on Michigan Avenue. Take it away, guys.
Sounds of
Yeah, there you go. The band Mero in studio here in our showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. That was great. Mother of Maladies, the track. Macy Stewart, Liam Kazar, Matt Carroll, and Dorian Gehring. Thanks so much, you guys, and good luck. I mean, Lake Effects this weekend, which is at the cultural, like, it's, I was trying to figure out where that's going to be. Somewhere in that building, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like it's maybe.
Around there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And then this summer, look for them opening up for Maceo Parker. That's, come on. Dream come true. You guys come back when the music is, when you guys put some stuff out, please come back. It was a pleasure. You guys sounded great.
Sure.
Thanks so
you guys.
Much.
Thanks for having us.
Great show tonight. The band Unpacks. I love it. Mero, check them out. Pete, I learned a lot tonight. I learned that Bob Ferguson is a great engineer.
He's the best.
That was pretty great. For him to be able to get the band in here and be able to do that with right after the worst, it's pretty good. Also, we learned about Hollywood Can Break You. Joseph Sikora. I learned that Jason Vincent and the crew at Nightwood are coming back, and that he's excited about it, but he's also worried about getting back into 15-hour days.
It's tough.
That was a big deal for him to come back. I mean, it was kind of a shock when that restaurant closed. So, but I loved listening to the idea of trying to debunk and demystify the idea of the pretentious menu.
Yeah, I really like that.
Everybody hates that.
You don't want to go into a place where you're nervous because you're not sure what to order or how to eat things.
Right. It's a steak with some sauce and a lot of bouma. And you're like, what's bouma? I better not ask. I better just get double.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works. So Patty Vasquez coming up next here on WGN Radio. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Are you in all week, Baddish?
No, I'm just tonight. But again, he's on a day-to-day.
Okay.
Kind of like in sports.
He'll power through. That's what he
does.
Know,
upper body, bruise or whatever. You
upper
know.
Body injury.
Yeah.
Well, can you be more specific? Upper body injury.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you, hockey. We appreciate that. Tomorrow night, my guest at the big table is going to be Michael James from the Heartland Cafe. It's the gentleman who they're celebrating 40 years, the Heartland Cafe up in Rogers Park. So we'll talk with Mike about his role sort of being on the far left. When it comes to activism and politics, but also vegetarian and vegan food that they've been doing up in Heartland and Rogers Park for decades.